about. You gotta put it in perspective.
And this is Hollywood, capital of fun, fancy, and let's pretend. The stars have hit the red carpet as the show is about to begin.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
I'm here to admit that I am in fact HIV positive. I have to put a stop to this onslaught, this barrage of attacks and of sub-truths.
Don't do drugs.
And now.
Are you on drugs or alcohol?
No, sir.
You take drugs or alcohol?
What is drugs?
Our feature presentation.
It's a valid question. What is drugs? Right?
Beans from hell.
Yeah, beans from hell.
Why am I from hell? What did I do?
Play the Super Stutter Mix?
Oh, my God. But did you watch it?
Yeah. It was rough.
What's going on with him? Look, the HIV aside, what's going on with Charlie Sheen, who used to be one of the most accomplished actors on television, who used to be able to deliver a comedy punchline as well as anybody on primetime, who now cannot get through a sentence without repeating every word once or twice? What is that about?
I think probably.
Yes. Is it drugs?
Was it just extreme
nervousness?
Yeah, I would say that plays a big part. There are a lot of people who can have a normal conversation and who can act or whatever, but then when they're in an interview setting, they can't, or they overthink things.
Yeah.
They're trying to pause to make sure they're picking the right words. But I'm saying maybe you're not the right guy to make fun of them.
I'm saying that went beyond just, hey, I'm nervous to be on TV because I'm making a big announcement that may change my life.
I don't know. I mean, maybe that was just...
I mean, he was Doto yesterday on that interview.
Okay. Yeah. I don't.
Wasn't he?
I mean,
it was just, it's very troubling. I feel like it's drugs.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not technically a doctor.
What?
I feel like it's drugs. All right. We have a big program for you today, and we'll get started with that in a minute. But first, in my little corner segment that I get, I'm going to share something so amazing with you that I love so much. Bob Ross is back. I don't know if you guys have noticed. The painter. You remember Bob Ross, the painter.
Of course. Happy Little Clouds.
Yeah. That dude with the afro, right?
Yeah.
With the afro and the very gentle demeanor, and he just talked to you about how much fun it was to paint.
Did you guys ever try to follow his instructions?
Oh, absolutely.
And it's impossible.
I got an oil painting set as a kid.
Right?
Wow.
And he goes, just do this and this and this. And he was done. And you go, wait. I don't even know where to start.
This dude just looked like he was just blobbing the canvas for 2 minutes and would turn out a painting that you'd hang on your wall. I mean, the guy was incredible. I had no idea. First of all, the show aired for 11 years on PBS from 1983 to 1994. He has been dead for how long, Allie? How long ago did Bob Ross die?
Oh, geez. A while.
A long time, right?
Yeah.
I don't even remember. Well, he's back in a big way right now. Twitch, you may have heard a couple of weeks ago, started putting his stuff up on the streaming platform so people could watch it. Almost 6 million people have watched Bob Ross paint on Twitch, all right?
Wow.
Here's the part that blew me away, though, is there is such thing as a Bob Ross painting school that you can go to be certified to teach other people how to paint in the Bob Ross style. There are 3,549 people who are certified Ross instructors spanning 39 countries around the world.
Wow.
Over 2,000 of them in the United States. Aspiring teachers must pass a Bob Ross certification class. It's in the U.S., by the way, at Smyrna Beach, Florida. It is run by 6 trainers there. It's a 3-week course, which costs about $400, not including materials and lodging. It's 3 weeks of grueling training. You make 26 or 27 paintings. It's fast-paced and really hard. If you're not paying attention, you get lost. This is an actual certification where you can teach people to paint like Bob Ross. Aren't you stunned this many years after that show went off the air that there are that many people training and teaching people how to paint?
Yeah, I also don't know that you can learn to paint like that in 3 weeks.
I don't need painting to be grueling. I mean, it's the most
those two
relaxing
words don't go together.
Thing. I don't want grueling painting.
Well, you have to paint some, and then you have to run a marathon. And you have to come right back and paint some
like
more.
It's like a beer run.
Slam
paint.
A beer, right. Yeah.
But I don't think it needs to be grueling for you. It needs to be grueling for the instructors who are going to teach you how to paint. Now, they may teach you how to paint in a very much more relaxed, spread out kind of way. I just think if you're going to take the teaching course, I think that's grueling.
Yeah.
But it's crazy to me how long after that show has been on the air that it still has such an impact and still has so many people interested. I mean, I hadn't thought about Bob Ross for years, I think.
He passed away in 95.
Wow. Really?
Wow. Yeah.
Well, that would explain why they canceled the show.
Were you wondering that too?
Well, I was wondering. Yeah, I guess I was wondering. So
but
the
you
last
knew he
season
died.
Was 94. Right, but I didn't know if they canceled the show in 94 and then he died in 2005.
Ah.
Now I find out that his last season was 94 and then he died. So that makes sense why they didn't make it anymore. So anyway, I think this may be my retirement plan, you guys, is being
a
Bob Ross instructional painter.
That's a good one, because I feel like, A, you're a good teacher.
Yeah, you have patience. Right. Very patient. And I have so much natural artistic
right.
ability,
you're
too.
Super artistic, so that'll help.
And I enjoy just being with people and also helping the young.
That's what you're about.
He would be berating you the whole time.
It'd be the worst.
Paint that cloud, asshole.
What's that? That would be being in front of the class.
So there you go. So Bean Ross will be teaching soon. I'll let you know when I get that up and running.
I'm not positive that's going to happen, but okay. Let's talk about today's Kevin Beecher, shall we?
I mean, that's the arts right there. You know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
Laughter, yeah. Sad, cry. Rainn Wilson on the program today.
Oh, yeah? I had not heard that.
Possibly Rainn Wilson on the show today.
Nope.
Not Rainn Wilson on the show today.
Gotta start coming to the meetings.
But I came. All right. We'll talk about it off the air. Jared Leto on the show today.
Yes.
Yes?
True.
Yes.
Being
confirmed.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Good.
It's happening.
Jared Leto. We also have Greg Fitzsimmons on the program today.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Good. And another trip to Las Vegas?
Wow. Yes. Look how many Kevin's
right?
getting right.
Come on, everybody. I'm doing good.
Nice.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next.
Woo for you. Ooh, you. Ooh, I leave it all.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:52.
If you are lucky enough to be at the Forum on December 13th when George Ezra comes out to sing his songs at Acoustic Christmas,
mm-hmm.
look around the crowd and how many people are going to be stunned to see what that kid looks like. They've heard that voice on the radio, and then that little kid will come out and start singing it, and people will not be
he's
able to
six.
Believe
six.
People have seen Adam Sandler before. They're not going to be surprised. They know what he looks like.
Anyway,
comes Hanukkah. Oh, Hanukkah. Can't wait to do that song. That's my favorite of all of his hits.
George Ezra was one of 22X playing that weekend. Details at KROQ.com. Tickets going on sale Friday at noon. Hey, Ralph Garman, how was the rest of your birthday yesterday?
It was great.
You have fun?
Yes. However, this morning, I woke up with a brutal head cold.
Oh.
Shakes, fever, stuffy head, sore throat.
You were joking about that yesterday.
See, and that's why I couldn't take the sick day. I really, by all accounts, should be in bed. But Bean has us all so scared now to take any time off because we will be lambasted publicly and personally.
It's strange. Well, he does take it very personally.
He does. Because
you're making it up. Because you're faking it.
But we're not. But because I made the joke yesterday saying I won't be in because I'll probably be hungover, I knew I couldn't take the sick day. Because if there's one thing I will not let stand is anyone think that I missed a work day because of a hangover. I pride myself on not doing
right,
that.
So you're going to come in and get us all sick
absolutely,
instead.
Absolutely.
Wow.
But however, like
asshole.
I'd like to make this go all the way around and make it Bean's fault somehow.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I'm fine with that.
All right.
Now, Ralph, having said all of that, mm-hmm. if you had called in sick today and were legitimately sick,
then you would have been the first thing on the air saying, well, Ralph's not here today because he was partying too hard for his birthday.
My question for you is, though, in this case, would it have been legitimate for us to doubt that you were telling the truth based on the fact that you forecast this yesterday?
No, because when have you ever known me to miss a day of work because of a hangover?
See, that's the difference between me and Bean, is I assume if Ralph calls in sick, he really needs the day off.
Yeah.
Because he's
about
sick.
25% of the time.
When do I take random days off for sickness?
It's a weird thing about Bean. I don't know why, but it's like super personal to him. Like, oh.
He takes it so personally.
I don't understand.
It's like he's cutting the checks. Like,
yeah.
He's like,
yeah.
He's Professor K-Rock. He's like it's Scrooge McDuck. Like, all the coins
Someone
are
Someone didn't love you enough when you were little, did they?
Here's all I'm saying, and then please, let's move on. And that is, either have a job or don't have a job. That's all I'm saying.
What does that
right,
mean?
Wow.
That makes good sense, Bean.
Thank you. Thank
so
you, Kevin.
Either
finally, you're coming around.
Work every day or don't come at all. If you're going to be sick, just quit your job, you're saying. Yeah, if you're going to be sick for one day, just give up your career.
Forget sick. Bean takes it personally when somebody else takes vacation that they have.
It's their right to take.
He's yelling at Omar because he was taking a vacation week that he has.
Do him. It's part of his agreement of employment.
Look, I'm just trying to run a tight ship here, you guys.
Yeah. That's what you're known for.
What Captain Bly always said on the Bounty.
<That's right. laughs> Well, we're all going to get sick now because Bean takes things personally.
Right.
So.
That's my whole point.
Son of a bitch.
I just
want
to make sure.
When you do, be sure to still come to work, Kevin.
That's right. Or just quit. Or just give up your job.
Those are my only options?
Yes.
All right.
Of course, yesterday the big story everywhere was Charlie Sheen coming out to Matt Lauer that he had been HIV positive for the last 4 years. And no surprise, given the number of people who allegedly were extorting Charlie to keep this information secret, or else he had to pay them in order to keep this information secret. TMZ is reporting at least six women have picked up legal counsel in the last 24 hours and planning to sue Charlie, claiming that they had both protected and unprotected sex with him, and he did not disclose his HIV status to them, even though on the interview with Matt Lauer, he claimed that he did in each and every case. So,
and that is against the law in a lot of states, right?
I don't know about the legal ramifications of it. That sounds right, but I'm not sure. It sounds like, if nothing else, there's certainly civil action that could be taken, and that's why these women, I assume, are getting at least advice from lawyers, if not actually making lawsuits go forward. But his problems are far from over. Although they did say yesterday in the interview, his doctor was with him, Robert Huizenga, and said that he has an undetectable amount of virus in his blood, and he has been on strong antiviral drugs for the entirety of his diagnosis. So, hopefully, he has not spread the virus to others. But I guess we'll find out as things move forward. It's just it's just weird that HIV still has such a stigma to it. I was watching one of these shows yesterday, not the chew, the chat,
the talk.
The talk. It was the one with Sharon Osbourne.
I think that is the talk.
Yeah. I think that's the speak.
And the speak. I think it is the speak. And they were all just saying, well, he should have thought of this before he did that, and he had it coming. And
what?
It was just slamming the guy. And look, he's no saint, obviously. He's not that likable a guy. I can see that. But the man has a disease. You know, it's an illness. And to the fact that so many people are still attaching the morality, dealing with the morality of a virus, which is kind of insane. I mean, I just doubt if he'd been diagnosed with lung cancer, where they would have done an hour on their show saying, well, he deserved this for all those cigarettes he smoked. I mean, people
maybe
accept other illness. Well, but not for an hour and not,
yeah, like, not for an hour.
Bringing in special guests. Yeah. And then, you know, it was kind of sad to watch. But
I agree.
It's
what you get for watching The Gab. Should not be watching that show.
Yeah, I know. But I was just fascinated watching Sharon Osbourne just rail against this guy. I was like, hey, she took the moral high ground. That was the lady who threatened to club members of my morning show with a baseball bat. Remember?
Was that her or was it Ozzy?
That was her.
Oh, I thought it was Ozzy.
No. Well, she was saying, I'm going to send Ozzy down there with a baseball bat and club you guys with it. So, that is easy.
I remember having a meeting after that going, we can outrun Ozzy.
Yeah.
we're okay.
But not Sharon.
No, God, no.
Was that the time that Kevin called Sharon hideous looking?
No.
Or was that the time that Ralph called Kelly fat? Which
I
one was it?
Did not. Neither. Neither. Neither.
Well, why was she so mad at us?
Because Ozzy Osbourne released a song
called.
It was an answer song to. Remember. What's her name? Kelly Osbourne's wildly popular smash hit "Papa Don't Preach."
That's right.
The cover of the Madonna song.
Mm-hmm.
She's talented. She's had a big music career. But in response to that song, Papa Don't Preach, Ozzy Osbourne, in quotes, released a song called Kelly Don't Eat.
Oh, it was good, though. I mean, it was
an entertaining song.
It was one of his better songs.
I think so. And for some reason, some members of the Osbourne family got upset.
Huh. Hmm.
Now, I can see that. I think they have a legitimate pitch. There's a reason why they should be upset.
Agreed.
But I didn't put her kid on television on MTV. I didn't put her in front of the public, right? That wasn't me.
Remember, Lightning was panicking. I was like, Lightning? He was our producer at the time. I was like, you got threatened by Ozzy Osbourne. That's pretty cool.
And I could see them being cheesed off. What I couldn't see is threatening the club people with a baseball bat over it. That's right. Where I think that's where you have to draw a line. But, look, what do I know?
But you have a daughter, and that may come up later.
Well, I'm not putting my kid on a reality show.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going to put her on television. I'm not going to subject her to the slings and arrows of the internet and radio DJs and everything else.
Fair enough.
I'm going to keep my kid protected for as long as possible.
So, even if she's not fat.
Especially if she's not fat. And Kelly's no longer fat.
Right, she looks great.
She looks great. Yeah. And she has proven us all wrong by showing she has enormous talent for pointing at people who wear clothes on red carpets. So, see, she is gifted. Sharon was right. Today's celebrity birthdays.
Wish you could find that song. Shoot.
Delroy Lindo. He's 63 years old today. One of our friends, Kevin Nealon, comedian and actor. Very talented, funny guy. He is 62. 62?
What crap?
He looks amazing. Good for 62. Must be all that pot he smokes. Elizabeth Perkins is 55. Kirk Hammett from Metallica. Or Talica, as the kids say. 53 years old today. Owen Wilson is 47. Hey, I finally saw that movie that Bean thought he might have seen, that he thought might be good.
Which one?
Uh-huh. Called She's...
Got, All That? She's,
I would love it if you liked that movie.
She's funny that way. She's
That's
she's,
it.
She's kind of like that. She's sort of that kind of funny way. I don't remember the exact title.
Okay.
Peter Bogdanovich directed. It was him and Imogen Poots and Reese right. Effens and a great cast. Jennifer Aniston.
It was pretty good, right?
And it was really good. I watched it with the wife. We really enjoyed it. I remember Bean saying, I said to my wife, Bean thinks he may have seen this and he may have liked it. So maybe we should give it a chance. She's like, what does that mean?
That's as strong as you can get out of Bean these
That's
days.
That's a positive review.
May have seen it.
I believe I might have seen that and I may have enjoyed it. All right.
Two huge variables there, did they?
I don't believe they put that on the poster, no. Comedian Mike Epps is 45. Chloe Sevigny is 41 years old today. And Damon Wayans Jr. celebrates his 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 22 minutes after 6 o'clock.
It almost seems too good to be true, but every morning this week on the Kevin Bean Show, we are giving away not a chance to win, but an actual trip to Las Vegas. You can go for a weekend, round-trip airfare, hotel, $500 spending cash, brought to us by the film Creed in theaters everywhere November the 25th. That's Thanksgiving weekend. And a pair of passes to see the film early, too. We're looking for you if you're a fan of Sylvester Stallone. And who isn't, by the way? Man's Rocky, for God's sakes. He's Rambo.
Yeah.
Right. No, we hear
yeah,
you.
Sylvester
Stallone.
Yes. An amazing man.
So if you're a fan of his and you want to win this trip to Las Vegas via Creed, call us now 1-800-520-1067. Give you a chance to play a game in about 10 minutes.
Let's talk about this mall. This is a weird story. A mall in New Jersey tried to make people pay up to $75 to meet Santa.
I thought that was that's part of childhood, is going to the mall and getting a free ride on Santa's lap.
I don't know if you're getting a ride. You're just kind of sitting there and
asking me the way that you describe that. Most of us, you know, got a picture when we were younger and it was free and there was no ride.
Well, I think, yeah, free, a couple of bucks, maybe something like that. But this adventure to Santa is what they had at the Cherry Hill Mall in New Jersey. And apparently they were trying to do something bigger than that, bigger than a sitting on Santa's lap. This is an immersive, interactive 17 to 20 minute attraction that takes families on a trip to the North Pole. There are 12 of them around the country, but this one has made news in New Jersey because people pushed back and pushed back hard. And the mall came out and said, you know what? We're changing our mind. We're not going to charge you to sit on Santa's lap. So so the people won. They said they were in touch with what their customers wanted.
No more rides. Right?
Right. So we wanted to find out more about the adventure to Santa with a spokesperson for the organization. Mary D'Angelo joins us on the phone right now. Oh, I'm sorry, Marty. Marty D'Angelo.
Yes,
hi, Mr. D'Angelo. How are you, sir?
Marty, not Mary. Okay.
I apologize.
Yeah,
I just,
you
I looked
apologize.
Up.
You're going to apologize yeah. with the back of my hand.
No, he just did. Well, he just apologized.
It was a mistake. I'm honest error. I just looked up too fast and, okay. and didn't read it correctly.
Ho, ho, ho. Merry holidays. Whatever.
So, Marty, your company's behind this adventure to Santa. Can you tell us what went wrong with this?
Yeah, nothing went wrong with it. Nothing at all. We
had
12 locations, Adventure to Santa, bringing joy to everybody, all the kids. Now we got 11. Thanks, Obama.
Well, I think it's the families at that mall in New Jersey that didn't want to pay $75 for their kids to get a picture with Santa.
Hey, let me tell you something, socialist.
What?
That's Santa Claus, okay? What'd he do for you all those years? Coming to your house, bringing your presents, making everybody happy. Now you don't want to give him $75? Now that's too much for joy? You don't love your kids?
Like,
that's fine, okay? But I love my kids, so I'm taking them to Adventure to Santa.
It's always been free, though. I mean, that's a huge jump in price right there.
That's socialism right there. Everybody gets something for free. Well, not in America, okay? $75 gets you not only a picture with Santa Claus, but an immersive experience, okay, where you travel for 17 to 20 minutes to the magical kingdom of the North Pole, and you get to meet Shrek and his donkey, for Christ's sake.
Wait, why is Shrek there?
Come on, you think of Christmas, you think of a green ogre, right?
What are you talking about?
No. I don't get the tie-in at all.
No. Yes, Shrek, Santa, right, jumps right to your head.
No.
And by the way, and the donkey, Mary rode a donkey, okay? To Bethlehem when she squatted in that manger, okay? So everybody just relax.
Squatted.
Wow. You are quoting scripture right now. That's
there,
very impressive, Marty.
Thank you.
So $75, again, a lot of money, you know, even
all
if
right,
it's...
All right, listen. Hey, hold on a second. Wait a minute.
Yeah, what?
$75 is the high end of the pricing schedule for the experience. It starts as low as $35, it goes all the way to $75. So it's not like we're putting a gun to nobody's head saying, hey, you got to pay $75.
By the way,
I have done in my lifetime, and it's very different from what we're doing now with the Santa thing.
All right, Mary, tell us what
Marty,
you get.
Marty, for God's sake.
Tell us what you get for $35.
Well, listen, you don't get anything. It's a schedule. It's a pricing schedule. You get choices, and the choices that you make means you spend more or less money in the experience, okay?
Okay, what are the choices?
All right, you go in line. We ask you questions. Okay, you want bathing Santa or you want gamey Santa? You get your choice. You can have one or the other. You get Santa who takes a shower regularly.
Oh.
Or you take the Santa we found behind the 7-Eleven down on Route 73 outside of Pensauken, sleeping next to a dumpster.
I don't think anybody would choose gamey Santa.
All right. That's another $10. This is what we're saying. We go up in the schedule now. You make your choices.
Okay.
Smoking and non-smoking Santa.
Non-smoking.
Oh, Santa shouldn't smoke.
Children.
What he did with... He had a pipe in that song and it got a wreath around his head with a bowl full of jelly and all that crap.
I think you're mixing up a few different songs right there.
Okay, so no smoking, I think.
Non-smoke, that's another $15. See, this is, you make a choice. That's how much you pay. We're not putting words in your mouth. You make choices.
Okay.
Does your kid get a candy cane, or does he get the ghost pepper cane?
Well, you don't want to give a little kid ghost peppers. Come on.
Look, some kids like spicy. What do I don't know what your kid likes.
How
do I know what your kid is into? Some kids like the sweetness of a candy cane. Some like the mouth-searing pain of the ghost pepper.
That's a terrible idea.
Well, then it's another $10. You want candy cane, it's $10.
Okay. Yeah, I think we're going to take the candy cane option, sure.
All right, handsy Santa, I'll keep it.
Come on,
Marty.
Marty.
Oh, that's another $10.
I shouldn't have to pay for a non-handsy Santa.
All right, last question. Pants or no pants?
Marty. Terrible person. Pants?
I'd go with pants.
All right. Hey, just as a quick P.S., people who are making music, make more like that, like what Dave Grohl does. We'd like more of that, please. Okay?
All right, good tip.
Noted.
Good tip. Hey, Sylvester Stallone, what's going on?
How you guys doing?
It's great to see you again.
It's good to see you, because, you know, you're talking all week about Creed, you know?
Right.
I don't know if you read today's Variety newspaper.
Did not. Sorry, I have not seen it, no.
But there's a review of Creed in that paper,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
they're saying not only does it live up to the Rocky franchise, but surpasses it and is a great movie in its own right.
Fantastic.
So
well, it
this
looks great.
Is a great film. You know, glad to be part of it. And, you know, Rocky Returns.
That's right. This is Creed in theaters on November 25th. We're giving you a pair of passes to see the film at the AMC Orange tomorrow night. And even better, a round trip to Las Vegas with airfare, hotel, and $500 spending cash with a game that we're calling Only Stallone-ly.
Only Stallone-ly. Now it's time to play the game. One of my movies you must name.
All right, let's go.
If you're the winner, you'll get to see Creed. And you'll go to Vegas. And maybe you'll see me. Because only Stallone.
Okay. So it sounds like you laid it out for the callers who are on hold right there. You're going to be playing clips from Sylvester Stallone movies, your own films. All they have to do is identify the movie by title, and then they are in the drawing to win the
tickets. This film is the latest film I've done, but I've done a lot of films.
Right. Other movies.
And
if
you know my other movies, then you can identify the other movie.
I think we said that.
You would be put into a drawing.
Right.
And then one person... Was named
trip to Las Vegas,
be written down, be pulled out of the drawing.
Right, Creed Las Vegas.
And you get not only see Creed, but you also
first
go to Las Vegas, and you might see me in Las Vegas. I don't know why. Maybe I'll be stalking you.
All right. Okay. Who do you want to go to first, Lyle?
I want to go to Ryan in Anemone Hills.
It's Anaheim Hills.
I don't recycle this one eye, you know.
Okay.
Creed hit me hard.
Hey, Ryan.
Good morning, guys.
Ryan, here's your clip from one of my movies. You have to identify it, right?
All right.
They're all gone, sir.
Are you all right? Over.
Baker team, they're all dead, sir.
Not Delmore Barry. He made it.
Barry's gone too, sir.
How?
Got himself killed in Nam. Didn't even know it. Cancer ate him down to the bone.
Dude.
Is that First Blood?
It was First Blood.
Nicely done.
Ryan drew First Blood.
Yo, Adrian.
All right, Adrian. Yo, Ryan.
You are in the drawing. Hang on. Who's our second contestant, Mr. Stallone?
Ringo. Ringo from L.A. is calling.
Is it Ringo?
Hey, Ringo.
It's Ringo. Good morning, guys.
Ringo.
I love the Beatles.
Got it.
It's Ringo.
Really good music.
Not Ringo. It's Ringo.
I love Ringo. Hope he wins.
All right.
Here's your clip.
You know, I'm kind of glad you didn't want to talk back, King. You know that?
Let me just shoot him in the goddamn leg. He'll talk.
I don't want the leg. I want the whole package.
Maybe he doesn't know anything, okay?
I don't really care.
What do you mean you don't care? What the f*** is this? You're a cop.
Like, I was a cop. But because of this dirtbag and his friends, we're on the run. No, it's payback.
Ooh. Cops on the run. What movie is that, please, Ringo?
I'm going to say Tango and Cash.
Yes!
Wow!
I love that movie.
Wow. No, you don't. You're the only
one. I love
one.
That movie.
You don't love it.
The suits I wore in the movie were excellent.
All right. Two for two. Who's next?
Frank from Anemone.
Anaheim.
That's Anaheim.
And Hammond.
Anaheim.
And Hyman.
Hey, Frank.
Anaheim.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning.
Hey, Frank. Here's a clip from you, for you, from one of my films.
You know, I've been coming in for 6 years. The 6 years you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I
want to
know how come.
You
want to
know?
I want to know how.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. You became a leg breaker. Some cheap, second-rate loan shark.
It's a living?
It's a waste of life.
Wow.
That old man was mean.
He was mean.
He sure was.
What movie was that, Frank?
That was Rocky.
Rocky.
It was Rocky. These people are good.
Nicely done.
It's amazing how much they know about my film.
Although that was half the movie.
In it was,
Okay. All right. Who's next?
Next up is Alex from La Puente. La Puente.
Hi, Alex.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Here's a clip for you. See if you recognize this film.
Zach Lamb? What happened to you?
I got older.
My God.
You are fined 2 credits for a violation of the verbal morality statute.
I'll be right back.
Oh, goodness, the language you use on your
for
show.
That one word.
I would have thought the guy in the other room would have edited that. I would think so, too.
I think he's a little punchy, you know? I think he got hit a lot in the head. His brain don't work so good.
Alex, what movie is that?
That's Demolition Man.
Yes, it is. Look at what was it? I'm sorry,
What's the name of that? Demolition Man.
Demolition
Man.
Right. Yeah. All right.
These guys are perfect.
Perfect so far, right.
Perfect working order to brains are. It's amazing. Right.
The only person that made a mistake so far is Beer Mug.
That's right. his brain's not in working order.
We got time for one or maybe two more if we hurry, Sly.
Anthony from Covina.
It's Covina.
Covina. Covina.
Hey, Anthony.
Hey, good morning, Mr. Stallone. It's an honor.
It's an honor to talk to you, Anthony. Are you Italian, Anthony?
No, I'm Mexican-American.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Why?
It's not an I'm sorry thing.
No, because Italians, I love Italians.
Sure.
I'm Italian, Rocky was Italian, Italian Stallion.
Right.
You know? So I'm just saying, Anthony, sometimes the name of Anthony indicates
Understood.
Italian.
All right, Anthony, what Sylvester Stallone movie? Okay, that's fine. Thanks, Lai. What Sylvester Stallone movie is this? Listen up.
I got you. You're not going to die.
Hold her, Gabe.
How'd that work
Very
out?
Dramatic.
Spoilers. Spoilers, I lied.
What do you think, Anthony?
Oh, that was very hard to hear, but I'm going to take a guess and say Daylight.
Oh, that was cliffhanger.
Sorry.
I was holding her in the beginning and said, you're not going to die. Yeah.
She said, don't let go.
That didn't work out so well.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'm very sad, Sylvester Stallone, that we are out of time. We're not going to get to your arm wrestling movie Over the Top today. But we do have a lot of people in the drawing. Ryan and Rigo and Frank and Alex. Only one will win the trip to Las Vegas, courtesy of the film Creed, in theaters everywhere on November the 25th. And see the movie tomorrow. Miss Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Ryan.
Ryan. Yeah! Congratulations, Ryan.
Thank you very much, you guys.
You drew first blood, Ryan.
Awesome.
Sorry. Put your mic on a little early.
I thought I was going to be able to get away with that.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons on the program today and just after 7:05, and I'm already starting to hear from his fans. Jared Leto is going to be joining us on the phone. He is going to be talking about how you can go camping with the band. That's right. You can hang out on a weekend in Malibu with Jared Leto and 30 Seconds to Mars. We'll give you all the details with the man himself coming up just after 7. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, boys and girls, children of all ages. Congratulations to David Beckham. He's been named People Magazine's Sexiest Man Alive.
Yay!
Beckham was on Jimmy Kimmel last night and told Jimmy, I saw the cover about an hour ago for the first time. It's the best moment of my career.
He said it's the best moment
of my career.
Did he say that?
That's what he said.
Oh, I don't believe that.
Yeah, he said it.
Yeah, no, I don't believe he meant it.
But didn't he win a soccer game one time?
He's here to represent it.
Won a lot.
Yeah, I would. I think maybe. I hope he was being facetious.
Ralph, explain.
Because I had a long career in soccer, and it was wonderful all those times when I would get injured and just sit on the bench and not play. I loved those times.
He was the captain of the England team in the World Cup several times.
But this was better, though.
Kevin, not though.
Being on a magazine cover.
It's better to be photographed, especially when I'm wearing me undies.
Explain how this works. I mean, isn't this like 10 years ago, maybe David Beckham might have been in the conversation for Sexiest Man Alive? I mean, there's zero heat on this dude today,
wrong? Man bun.
Oh, no.
I don't know.
He has a man bun?
He rocks the man bun. He does.
Yeah.
He is quite the man bun aficionado.
Okay.
He's a man bun enthusiast.
Didn't it strike you, not that I care, but a very strange choice?
Yes. I thought it was, you couldn't find someone with less heat on them than you could.
Right.
Maybe People Magazine realizes that just no one cares anymore. So they just said, what do we have in the drawer? I found some pictures of Beckham. Throw them on.
That's fine.
Let's go to lunch. Early lunch. I'm buying.
Do you think they make a choice every year where people go, what? Why?
No, usually whoever the hottest guy is.
Yeah, it's Chris Hemsworth or somebody who's,
big. Speaking of hot, Jared Leto's got Suicide Squad coming up right now.
Good Oscar winner.
I mean, boom. There's your guy. There's your guy you slap on the front.
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah.
David Beckham. I don't get it.
A little bit of a flashback there. Porsche has responded to the lawsuit from Paul Walker's family, claiming it was their fault that he was killed in a car crash last November. Porsche says that Paul and his driver, Roger Rodas, were in a car that was abused and altered, as well as misused and improperly maintained. So in short, Porsche is saying that it was Roger and Paul's own comparative fault that their car crashed. And Paul's daughter, Meadow, filed the wrongful death suit in September, claiming it was the car's fault, that it lacked an electronic stability control system, that her father was trapped in the burning vehicle by a defective seatbelt, among other reasons that they believe Porsche was responsible. But I guess this is going to go to court, and we're going to have to wait and see what a judge says. But just nobody wins here, you know? I mean, no. It was a horrible tragedy. The lawsuit, here's a bone of contention, another that Porsche has with the lawsuit, is that they claim the car was traveling between 63 and 71 miles an hour. Police report says the car was going between 80 and 93 miles per hour, which could have been another cause of the crash. So a lot of this is going to have to be hashed out in court, sadly, but we'll have to wait and see. Good news in television world for Supergirl. Her ratings were up from last week, despite Monday Night Football. Over 8 million viewers live watched Supergirl this week. Gotham was also up, had almost 5 million viewers. Dancing with the Stars, meanwhile, was the big winner of the week. Over 12 million viewers watched that freaking show.
Wow. I'm sorry. You said Dancing with the Stars.
You heard me.
12 million.
Yep.
Supergirl 8.
Well. Right. You want to see Bindi Irwin shake that ass, right?
Yes. She did the Paso Doble last night or something. I don't know.
And we want to see her because her dad was on a TV show once, right?
Her dad used to hunt gators in the swamps.
This is a called weird Amos country. Moses. We live in. No, completely different.
Yeah, cough syrup. There's going to be a Top Gun 2. Why so soon?
What?
When was the original?
When was the original?
The original, I believe, was 1980. I want to say 6. Someone sourced me on that, but it's right in there, right there in the mid 80s.
That sounds about right because that's when it sounds. I'm thinking Danger Zone was out.
Boom!
Well done.
So, yeah. Boom! Nailed it. Val Kilmer said yesterday on his Facebook page, "I just got offered Top Gun 2. Not often you get to say yes without reading the script." Psst, Val, read the script.
Maybe you should. There's no downside.
That announcement set off a firestorm. All right. Set off a Bic lighter of heat regarding the Top Gun 2 sequel over the internet, so much so that Val had to go back on and make the following announcement. "This movie's a long way off, so everyone needs to calm down. This has been talked about for a long time, and being offered a role is very different from doing a role. I jumped the gun with my post. I jumped the Top Gun," he added.
Oh, Val.
File.
For that alone, they shouldn't let him be in the movie.
"It was an innocent mistake. It was such a wonderful phone call with my agent, that's all." So he's very excited to be offered any film, let alone Top Gun 2. Remember when he was one of the biggest movie stars in the world, Val Kilmer?
He was freaking Batman.
He was freaking Batman.
Hey, Ralph, forgive me if this is common knowledge and I just missed it, but is Tom Cruise also attached to Top Gun 2?
Yes, he is for a long time.
He is, okay.
He is on board. Apparently, the premise, from what I understand, is that Cruise and now apparently Kilmer will now have moved up in the Top Gun Academy, and they will be instructors, and there will be a new crop of young bucks who are just loose cannons and cards that need to be dealt with and stuff. And they'll have to learn their lessons as well. All I care about is volleyball.
Is that volleyball scene?
I just want topless, shining, taut male bodies writhing in the sun as they play a viciously competitive game of volleyball.
That was strangely erotic.
"When the playing with the boys." The music, what was the song underneath it?
So homoerotic.
And they're all high-fiving each other, and I'm pretty sure there was some grab ass. I couldn't tell you what moment in the scene, but it happened.
It is the gayest scene in a very gay non-porn film. Movie, right?
It's a very gay film top to bottom. Right. But
Or bottom to top, depending on the guy involved.
That's the particular one that always caught my attention.
playing with the boys.
Yeah. Like they needed that song.
Slow that motion across. Slow motion spiking. Spike, right? Spike, like this?
Yep, we
this,
know.
This could be
see
called a spike
pointing.
Right
no.
here.
No.
If this,
thank you.
This
stop
could
pointing.
Be a spike,
yeah.
couldn't it?
Allie, tell me when to open my eyes.
I am not looking.
All right.
What do they use in the game? Balls. Spike okay. the ball.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Iceman.
Okay.
Mav. Hey, Mav. Can I be your wingman, Mav? Yeah. Here's my wing.
<What's happening? laughs> I like Nightpool Ralph.
Me too.
I'm in a system costume every day.
All right. Today's celebrity birthday is Delroy Lindo, very talented actor, 63 years old today. Kevin Nealon, funny man. Talented actor as well, 62. Elizabeth Perkins is 55. Kirk Hammett of Metallica is 53. Owen Wilson's 47. Mike Epps is 45.
I'm not saying the dude made a deal with the devil. I'm just saying look at his acting career and his Oscar. And look at him fronting a multi-platinum band called 30 Seconds to Mars. And he looks like that. Talking about our friend Jared Letter, who joins us on the phone on the Kevin Bean Show right now. How are you, Jared?
I'm great. I miss you guys.
We miss you, too. It's great to talk to you. 10 o'clock this morning. Tickets going on sale for the second annual Camp Mars. I guess the first question is, what the hell is Camp Mars?
It's a good question. You know, maybe it was my impoverished youth. Maybe it was, I don't know, my love of nature. But I thought it would be incredible to do an adult summer camp, kind of a mini Coachella, and invite a bunch of freaks and friends to join some music and madness.
Now, you did this last year. How did it go with your fans basically living with you over the course of a weekend? What was that like for you and the boys in the band?
It was nuts. I mean, we really we had a great time. It was one of the best things I think we've ever done. It was so much fun and unexpected, too. It went really, really well. And I said this before, but we knew in the first 5 minutes that we were going to do it again. So it's in Malibu again this coming year, and it's going to be insane.
And do you sleep in cabins? I mean, right there on the premises?
You know, I kind of sneak around and throughout the night, and I do sleep out there at the camp. It's a really beautiful place. It's in Malibu. It's on Friday, August 12th to Sunday, August 14th. And one of the most beautiful places in the world, I think.
This is crazy. We're talking to Jared Leto about the second annual Camp Mars. Hiking, yoga, cooking classes, archery, a drum circle, meditation, sing-alongs. Now, are you leading these things or are you participating in these things with other instructors? How does that work, Jared?
A little bit of both. We have a couple of concerts as well. We have all kinds of adventures and activities, and we have s'mores.
Well,
you
I mean, really,
there.
Come
you
on.
Have me
I mean,
s'mores.
Really,
s'mores.
Come on with a s'mores, right?
Thank you very much.
I am very interested in this Red Hawk package. You can get packages starting for a single day, $399, up to the Red Hawk package. Ghost stories, yeah. Karaoke, and spiritual teaching. So that's more of a up close and personal with the guys, right?
Yeah, spooning is not included, but available. but look, it's all in good fun, and I think a lot of people, myself included, have been a part of or been to so many huge festivals, and that's fun, but you don't always want to be around a gazillion people. This is really intimate, it's really different, and something that, you know, I think a lot of people had a lot of fun at last year, so I'm psyched to do it again this year.
You know what's smart that you're doing, you guys in 30 Seconds to Mars, is that you're not doing this on a ship like so many other bands go out and do these cruises where you literally can't get away. You're giving yourself an escape route if things get too crazy, Jared.
Yeah, it's really, I don't know about that one. I'm not too familiar with it, but I have never been on a cruise. If I went on a cruise, I'd probably want to be more on like a sailboat.
Right.
But I like nature. I like the outdoors. You know, Malibu, we're all spoiled because we live in California. But people came from all over the world last time and got to experience Malibu, California. It was incredible. I mean, we all had an experience we'll never, ever forget.
How many people come to Summer Camp Mars?
It'll be about 1,000 people a day.
Wow.
Yeah.
From all around the world, were any of those people men?
You know, actually, surprisingly, a lot were men. You know, I guess it's a stretch to call myself that, but me and my brother, you know, sometimes I jump on both sides of that fence. But we, yeah, there are a lot of guys there. I think that, you know, being outside in nature is something that everybody loves. And shows were great. The shows are actually more of acoustic shows. We brought in a gospel choir last time. We brought in a string quartet. It was just a fun way to kind of reinvent what we do and to share in a little bit more of an intimate way.
And do you do those shows on the beach?
We don't do them on the beach. We do them in the woods.
In the woods.
Last year, actually, brought people on a hike in the middle of the night, which was really fun. We had like a woman dressed as a ghost singing opera out in the middle of the woods, and we do a lot of really fun, creative stuff.
I'm picturing somebody who's out there for the weekend just trying to get a good night's sleep. And here comes Jared and his ghost
again,
waking you up and forcing you to hike in the woods. And you're like, seriously, I just want to get some sleep. And you're like, no, walk, damn it, walk.
No, that's pretty much it, you know.
Well, it sounds like a lot of fun, Jared, and it especially sounds – I mean, look, everybody loves their favorite band, and a lot of people around the world, millions of people love 30 Seconds to Mars. I mean, what better way to get even more out of the experience than just going to see a concert? I mean, to get a chance to hang out and, you know, be on a you know, be in a cooking class with Shannon, you know, is just going to be the type of thing that someone will never forget. So it's awesome, awesome for 30 Seconds to Mars fans. And tickets are going on sale this morning at 10 o'clock. Packages sold exclusively through this website, summercampmars.com. Summercampmars.com. I hope it's super fun, Jared. You well otherwise? Everything else going all right with you?
Everything's incredible. Like I said, we miss you guys. We're working on a new album right now. And, you know, we're looking to have new music out sooner rather than later. And we'll come and visit you when we do.
Well, we always look forward to it. And it's always fun to spend time with you. Please give our best to Shannon and Tomo. We'll talk to you again soon. All right, dude?
Okay. Thank you so much. Bye, guys.
Thanks, Jared.
That was fun talking to Jared Leto, by the way.
Yes, it was.
Love that dude. He's always been very good to us. Again, summercampmars.com if you want all the information on the event coming up in Malibu in August that he was talking about. Yesterday, Ralph brought us an interesting story during the Showbiz Beat about a guy in, I want to say he was in Ohio. I think it was. Ohio is where that terrible plane crash that ended up killing 8 or 9 people happened. It flew into a small apartment building in Ohio the other day. And this guy should have been home. Every single day he is in his apartment at 3 o'clock when that plane hit the building. But he wasn't this time because on his way home he decided to stop for some Hot Pockets. And the Hot Pockets saved his life. So we started having a conversation off the air about how random life is and how one little change that seems completely insignificant can end up having, in some cases, life-altering effects on you. And by the way, somebody emailed in as a result of that story and said, what if he had stopped for the Hot Pockets and then the plane would have crashed into the store where he was buying the Hot Pockets? That same decision could have cost him his life, too.
Well,
there's
just no way to know. Glass half empty, take it easy.
But this guy's alive.
Let's be happy.
Right, I am happy, but I'm saying that's the point, is you just don't know. You turn left or you turn right. One way is a completely different future for you than the other way. And I'm always fascinated in stories like that. And we thought it might be interesting, since this guy's life was literally saved by the random decision to buy Hot Pockets on his way home, we thought it might be fun to take calls from the Kevin and Bean listeners where they made a choice that ended up saving their life. They couldn't have known it at the time, but because of what they chose to do or not do, they didn't die.
Yeah, those stories are crazy. I had one when I was a junior in high school. I was working at a camp in the summer in Colorado, and it was in between sessions, and there was just two of us out there, and there was this crazy windstorm that was coming up, and we set up our tent, and I don't know what it was, but I just kept thinking, you know what? I feel like we should move the tent.
Huh.
So the first thought you think, you know, the first way you question yourself is, well, that's dumb.
Right.
Why?
It's going to take time.
Yeah, don't be an idiot. What are you afraid of?
When you started thinking we should move the tent, it was because it was so windy you saw that there was a tree nearby? Or you thought it would blow away?
There were trees all around us.
Uh-huh.
There was no specific threat
in your mind. It was just a general uneasiness about the way things were set up.
Yes, and I don't understand it, but we moved the tent and we put a trailer where the tent was, and that night a tree with about a 12-foot circumference, that big, just crushed that trailer.
Wow.
Fell down and crushed it. And when we heard it, we came out of the tent, we just stood there looking like, Okay.
Glad
that could have been us.
What?
Wow.
Right? What?
Huh?
Right?
Yeah.
So weird.
So do you think, without hyperbole, that had you kept the tent where it was, that that tree would have fallen on you and possibly killed you?
Yeah, I think both would have happened. Would have fallen on us, and it would have not just killed us. I mean, we just would have – you would have never found
flattened.
Us. It was just crazy how big it
knocked,
was.
Knocked underground. So what do you that's an amazing story, unless you were, you know, drinking. And
I wasn't.
Just
How dare
you?
You?
That's, what do you think that's about?
I don't know. Honestly, I don't know. I've thought about that a lot, and I have no idea. I don't know why I felt that way. It was. I don't know that it was based on anything. We weren't moving it to a different location that wasn't around trees.
Well, I know. Mm-hmm. Bean thinks it's divine intervention, right?
Well, that's what Bean always goes for first.
No, I'm not that guy.
First.
Have you ever experienced that sensation again about anything else and either been right or wrong?
No. No,
that was a one-time deal.
Yeah, isn't that weird?
Yeah.
Well, yours definitely fits into the parameters of what we're looking for, which is you made a choice that ended up saving your life. But it's interesting that you at least had a heads up. It's not like this guy in Ohio thought, you know what? Something tells me I need to stay out of my apartment until after 3. You know, I mean, he was just completely oblivious to it. He randomly stopped for a hot pocket.
I have to stop for a hot pocket now every day on my way home.
Yes.
And then he sees his buildings on fire. By the way, he's lucky to be alive. Not all good news. He lost everything he owns in that apartment, by the way. Did not have renter's insurance. So
Bean can make a negative out of everything. Yeah, but he lost. He's still alive. Right. Okay. But he lost stuff.
My job.
So let's not be too happy here.
My job, as you know, Kevin, is to find the dark cloud in every silver lining. That's what I'm all about.
And you know what? At camp, we lost that trailer.
See?
But you didn't bring it up.
Right?
No, see, I didn't. It wasn't a win-win. All right, let's take Rochelle real quick at 1-800-520-1067. Again, the topic on the table, and you can text us too, by the way, if you can't get to a phone. It's the number 2-K-R-O-Q, 25767. But we'd much prefer if you have time, if you give us a call and tell us what decision you made that ended up changing your life irrevocably. Rochelle, thanks so much for calling. What's going on? Hello, Rochelle.
Gone.
You're tapping the mic, hoping she will hear you. Is that what happened?
I don't know. It wasn't on our end, but I don't know.
All right, we lost her. Let's try Steph in La Mirada. Then she's up next. She's on line 3.
Hey, Steph.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good, thank you.
Good morning.
All right. So, crazy story. My husband and I got married 3 years ago.
That is insane.
Okay. No, that's not the part of the story.
Okay.
We decided to go to Disney World for our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
While we were at one of the parks, I got bit by a spider and came back. It never really healed, so I went to the doctor, found out that they did some blood work, found out I had cancer. So if we had never really gone to Disney World, we probably wouldn't have found it.
A spider gave you cancer?
No, I think it was unrelated, right?
Oh.
It was unrelated, right, Steph?
Yeah, I think it was unrelated, but I didn't necessarily notice any of the symptoms. And
wow.
So yeah, everything.
You would never have gone to the doctor, so you never would have known something was maybe going all throughout your system.
No, and it was blood cancer, so it's not like it was a tumor or anything like that. So there was no lumps, there were no other like symptoms or anything like that. I was just tired and had this really disgusting gash and went to the doctor, so they did blood work.
How are you doing now?
Oh, I'm fine. Completely in remission.
Excellent.
All of my hair is grown back. It's really great.
Excellent.
That's awesome.
Thank God for spiders, right?
Yeah.
I can't find a black cloud in that. So
try, though,
B. Sounds like
nothing but
good news, I think. Thank you for the call, Steph.
Spiders are literally the worst.
Yeah.
We really appreciate you calling us. All right. Let's take one more.
Spiders are the worst.
She just turned her back on her face.
She found it negative when Bean couldn't.
Wow.
How much does she hate
That's
spiders?
Amazing.
All right. Let's try Kevin in Oxnard. I'm not sure I follow what's up on the screen, but maybe he'll bring it to life for us. We're looking for that decision you made that changed your life, preferably saved your life, is what we're looking for. Kevin, what's going on with you?
Yeah, back in the 90s, I'd gotten laid off, and my wife and I and my youngest son, we went to the unemployment office because I needed to fill out some paperwork. I get there, and the line's long, and then the window that I needed to go to was closed till like 1 o'clock. And I said, I'm not going to wait around for half an hour for this, so let's go get some pizza. So we left and went the next shopping center over, got into the pizza parlor, and up on the big screen TV, they got this news thing going on that some guy came into the pizza parlor and shot a bunch of people up, killed a couple people, and then he took off, and ultimately he got killed by the police.
All right, wait. You said you went to a pizza place, and then you saw footage on the news of the pizza place being shot up. Did you mean?
No, of the unemployment office.
Okay, so the office where you were, a shooter came in.
Yeah, I mean, and it's great to be on the news already. He had to have walked in the door when I walked out the other door. I mean, we would have been there.
Wow.
So it was just a matter of a couple of minutes. The fact that you were too impatient to wait around for the office to reopen at 1, you went for pizza, you missed you missed a chance to get shot at.
All right, I got to get pizza every day on the way home, too.
Pizza saves lives.
Pizza.
Pizza was
all right,
good,
Kevin. that's what matters in this story. Great call, sir. We'll take your calls next. 1-800-520-1067. Coming up right after this on K-Rock. By the way, if you haven't heard, sometime in the last 48 hours, the announcement has been made. K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 is happening coming up in just a few weeks, Saturday and Sunday, December 12th and 13th at the Forum. Tickets are going on sale Friday at noon. For K-Rock Street Team members only, super easy to sign up. Get the password so you can buy tickets when they go on sale at that time. Great lineup, 22 bands over 2 nights. Get all the details at krock.com.
All right, we're talking about you made a decision or something happened that was out of your control that literally saved your life.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the story about the guy in France?
Which guy is this?
The guy with the cell phone.
Yes!
That saved his life from a suicide bomber. This is insane. Listen.
Well, we do have a story that's a bit more on a positive note. And one witness to the attacks says his cell phone actually saved his life.
That man who is going by the name Sylvester says that his phone blocked shrapnel as he crossed the street near the Stade de France. Listen.
Ben, le temps qu'il raccroche, ben, je traversais et directement, boom, ça a explosé devant moi.
The time he took to hung up, I was crossing the street and straight away, boom. It exploded right in front of me. Everything was blown to bits and I felt stuff flying around and I left. I fell and then I got back up. And that's when you guys saw me. You were already there. So this is the cell phone that took the hit. It's what saved me. Otherwise my head would have been blown to bits.
Dude.
Wow.
Why is he known as Sylvester?
I don't know.
His name?
That's an odd
choice. The iPhone took the brunt of the shrapnel instead of his face, it sounds like.
You think he called his mom and said, see, you keep telling me to get off my phone, Mom. Wrong.
Well, we're taking your calls to find out when you've made a decision that ended up saving your life. Wow, we got a bunch of them on hold here. Let's start with Matt. He is on line 6. He's in Laverne, and he is up first this segment here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Matt, thanks for calling and holding on. What happened?
So when I was in high school, we were at a mock trial competition, and I was the only one with the car, so I'm giving everybody a ride home. When the most annoying girl in school asked for a ride, we had to wait a minute or two for her, and as we were waiting for her, a giant tree fell in the parking lot, crushing almost 30 cars.
Oh,
my car was completely demolished. The Sacramento Fire Department kept the car because it was about knee-high.
Oh, I thought you were waiting in the car. You weren't in the car. You were just waiting for her.
No, we were about to get in the car. And the tree fell over, crushed it.
Wow.
And literally, afterward, my car was knee-high.
Thank God for annoying girls, right?
Right? You're welcome, Matt.
Right?
You're welcome.
And you hadn't talked to Allie again until right now.
We won that debate, though, didn't we? We were awesome.
We crushed it.
That's unbelievable. By the way, I've never heard of a tree crushing 30 cars. That's a huge tree.
It was huge. It was like 26 cars, something like that.
Good clarification, Dean. Thank you.
Great call, Matt. Appreciate you listening. Thank you. Let's try Joy in Studio City. She'll be up next on line 3, please.
Hey, Joy.
I'm telling you, the tree was big.
Right, it was a big tree.
That's my point. You don't even know.
Hi, Joy.
Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay.
Yes.
So
you're not saying anything.
Go ahead.
Okay, so it's actually my mom. About maybe 10 years ago when she was still working, she called in sick. She used to take the train to work, and she called in sick maybe just of a minor headache, and then that Amtrak crashed.
The train that she would have been on.
Right. That was the train that she usually takes to go to work, and it crashed, and because she called in sick, it saved her life. And actually, my mom's boss, called the house checking to see if my mom was on that train, and I answered the phone, and I said, no, actually, my mom is homesick today, and her boss couldn't be happier that my mom calls in sick that
See,
day.
Bean, some bosses are happy when people call in sick.
This
reminds me so much of probably the most famous passenger who didn't die on September 11th, remember, was Seth MacFarlane, who missed the plane. He would have been on one of the planes that flew into the towers.
He was trying desperately to get on that plane and was angry that he couldn't.
Yep, exactly. Thank you very much, Joy. Appreciate that call. Wow, we got some good ones here. Let's try blah, 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 blah. Let's try Rudy. Let's go to Rudy Line 7, please. He's in West Hollywood. He's up next. Hey, Rudy.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
When I was about 10 years old, I went to the LA County Fair, and I was with some older kids, and we got into one of those rides with that spins around where you sit in and they put a bar down on you.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, I like flipped out. I'm like, I don't want to sit here. So they came and they moved the bar, and we got literally behind in the cart behind us. And the ride started, and it started spinning, and the bar broke off on the seat in front of us, and two girls flew out of the ride. One broke her spine, and the other one broke her leg.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I have no idea why. I just, like, you know, just didn't want to be on that ride. That seat.
Wow, that's crazy. I don't understand that. I don't understand what that voice is that says, don't be on that ride, don't be on that seat.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
All right. Good musical accompaniment. Thank you, Bean. Thank you, Rudy.
I don't understand what that voice is either, Kevin. Funny you should say. All right. How about, let's try Charles. He's in Anaheim. He's up next. Line 2, please.
Hey, Charles.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. You would be dead if not for?
My boss told me the next day, he told me that you have to show up early to work. So I didn't get that much sleep that morning, so I ended up forgetting my phone, turned back around, went back through the streetlight that I was on, and I was rubbing my eyes because I was super tired. And the car behind me, the light turned green, the car behind me was honking, and I didn't see it, so I was sitting at the light for maybe about 3 seconds longer than I should have.
Mm-hmm.
And a semi-truck went right through the intersection and would have killed me.
Oof. Wow.
Dude.
Had you pulled out like normal, you would be dead.
Exactly.
Wow.
It was a huge semi with a full load.
So much.
Come on. It's a semi. It can't have a full load.
I didn't realize what I just said.
Yeah, well, Kevin said, had you not pulled out.
Yeah, I mean, right. Come on,
yeah,
Jack.
So much.
This call has everything.
All right. Thank you for the call. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 7:52.
Yep.
Had the Google alert.
I'm up to date with all the pancake news.
Of course, I'm going to see a story that involves pancakes and Denny's. Come on, Ralph. You know I got Google alerts for that.
Sure.
I was telling a story off the air real quickly about this woman who ordered the Denny's $4 all-you-can-eat pancake special. She was sitting at her table. And then proceeded to bring in the rest of her family to sit at the table, and she kept ordering pancakes and plate of pancakes and plate of pancakes, and she was feeding the entire family on the $4 special. And the management came over and said, "Miss, that you're misusing this promotion. It's per person." And she went ballistic and started punching the waitress in the face.
Yeah, she got arrested for assault and damaging. I think she damaged some property at Denny's. I don't know. She was kicking the door on the way out
because she wouldn't pay the $4 either. On her way out, she was kicking the door. So I was recounting the story to the kids here in the studio.
Yep.
You just hear in the background me going, yep,
Seen it?
He's well-versed in all the pancake news.
I've seen it.
Look, I can't tell you anything that's going on in Batman world, right? You can't tell me what's happening in Pancake Land. I know. That's my area.
I didn't know Pancake Land was a place.
Yes,
that's my new favorite kids movie.
Pizza first.
first.
Gene Baxter, mayor of Pancake Land.
Hey, listen, comedian Greg Fitzsimmons joins us in studio coming up next hour, but we are going to make some time for your phone calls first on any topic. Maybe you want to talk about Kevin and Allie's beloved Los Angeles Kings.
Nope.
And they played a particular hockey game against a particular team last night.
It's funny, because I forget who we play, but the Kings won in a shootout last night. I think Anze Kopitar scored in the shootout and beat a team. Who was it, Allie? Do you remember which team it was?
It might have been the Philadelphia Flyers.
Perhaps that's a topic you want to weigh in on, or maybe you've got your own pancake experience, or you've got comments, you've got questions, or you want to talk about how dreamy Jared Leto is, or you want to talk about Acoustic Christmas. Really, anything is on the table. You tell us what you want on the Kevin and Bean Show. Call us now, 1-800-520-1067. It's your time to shine. It's a feature we call What's Good, and it's coming up right after this edition of the Showbiz Beat.
In TV news, in the show business world, Kurt Sutter's ambitious period drama, The Bastard Executioner, has been canceled by FX. After one very low-rated season.
I'm sorry for Kurt. He's obviously a very talented writer.
Yes.
Super good guy, and I'm sure he'll come back with something else that's great again.
I agree. And look, it was a hard sell. It was a period drama. It was dark. It was difficult. It was good television, but it just didn't get the audience. And as we all know, that's the name of the game. That's why I was happy to see Supergirl getting a little bounce back from last week's ratings. Despite Monday Night Football, Supergirl brought in 8 million viewers overall. Gotham also had a good week. It was up to about 4.5 million viewers. But the winner of the week in TV ratings, Dancing with the Stars, well over 12 million viewers tuned in to watch the further competition for the coveted Mirror Ball. Crazy. Voiced it pretty well, too. 11.5 million viewers.
Every year you come in and give us the lineup of so-called celebrities for Dancing with the Stars, and we mock it, and we talk about how no one's going to watch.
We've never heard of them.
We've never heard of them.
It just doesn't matter, does it?
Nope. Yeah. It's insane, the staying power that show has.
AMC's new show, Into the Badlands. Have you seen the spots for that?
I think it aired last Sunday, and I taped it.
It's from the, the fight choreographer from Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
Looks awesome.
Looks amazing. Did very well for itself. It's now the season's new record holder for best ratings for a new show. Nielsen says 6.4 million viewers tuned in to watch Into the Badlands on Sunday night.
It was on right after Walking Dead.
Yep.
That's a good lead-in.
It's a pretty good lead-in. And in more TV news, NBC has picked up a pilot for a comedy series that will be produced by Johnny Knoxville about a cop from the mainland who finds himself working as a private eye in Hawaii. The show will be called Hawaiian Dick.
Is that
really?
That is for real. That's the name of the series.
That's not... Wait. What? You didn't just make that up?
See, Kevin, a dick is also a euphemism for a private eye.
Right.
Or a gumshoe, as they used to say.
That's usually you will insert joke and we'll say, really? And
you don't have to. This one writes itself.
That's the name of it. Okay.
Hawaiian Dick.
I don't know that there's any possibility of a cop show set in Hawaii being successful, though. That's a crazy outside-the-box idea.
I wish them luck. They're charting new territory.
They sure are.
Universal is looking for their Marvel Universe. They want to get in on some of this sweet, sweet franchise action.
Okay.
They watch Disney just rake in all the cash with their Avengers and their superheroes and Mr. Captain America and Iron Man. And Fox, of course, has Spider-Man, and Sony rather has Spider-Man. Fox has the X-Men. They want some of that themselves. And they figured out how. They went back into the old vaults and they said, hey, we've got all those monster movies. We still own Dracula and the Wolfman and Frankenstein and Van Helsing and the Mummy. And so they have announced they're going to create a series of movies featuring all of those classic horror movie characters that will share the same universe and will cross over into each other's films.
Interesting.
Pretty clever.
That has the potential to be great.
Yes, if they do it right. If they reboot those characters properly. I think to really do it right, though, they have to stay true to those original version. I want to see Frankenstein with freaking bolts in his neck. I want to see the staples in his forehead. I want to see him old school. OG Frankenstein, right?
Yeah, but it seems like they could, with the advances that they've made, they could make that look great.
Yeah, but it's still...
I agree.
It has to call back to those old school versions. I think that'll really make it fun.
That'll be cool. Yeah.
Do you guys think in the 21st century there could ever be a successful Invisible Man movie? Or do you think that that was just of its time because the trickery of the photography was so fascinating to people?
I think anything done well could be successful.
Mm-hmm. It depends on how you do it, yeah.
Yeah. Because there was one not too long ago with Kevin Bacon called The Hollow Man, I think it was.
Right, right.
That was that a was pretty good. Effective Invisible
That was a good movie.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Speaking of movies, Val Kilmer said on his Facebook page, he just got offered a role in Top Gun 2, baby. Woo! Top Gun 2! Whoop-de-woo!
Does that film need a sequel?
Yes, it sweet-ass does.
Okay.
It was 30 years ago?
1986, so almost. Almost. 30 years. Next year will be the 30th anniversary of Top Gun. Tom Cruise apparently also will be involved. Just got offered Top Gun 2. Not often you get to say yes without reading the script, he said on Facebook yesterday. Well, everyone just went nuts, as you can imagine. And he said he had to warn people off on his next statement, saying, this is a little way off, so calm down. I jumped the gun with my post. I jumped the Top Gun. Sweet! All I want, I've said this many times, just give me sweaty, firm male bodies playing hardcore volleyball.
If you never saw that, it was a bizarre scene.
It was sweet. Those beautiful men swatting those balls around, right? Slapping the balls, spiking the balls, and with this and music in the background. Playing it with the boys. Come on, nice man. Come here, Maverick. Yeah. Go, Goose. Go, Goose. Goose me.
No one said to Kenny Loggins, hey, that song's a little too on point for this scene. We don't really need to call it Playing with the Boys when that's what's happening already on screen.
And lastly, in the world of music, sad news. Kenny Rogers, legendary country artist and at one time rock and roll star, has announced at the age of 77 years he is doing one last world tour, and then he will be calling it a day. He'll be retiring after this last tour.
Is he the guy that had enough plastic surgery that you can't recognize him
anymore?
He
now looks like a bad Kenny Rogers impersonator from the Imperial Palace in Vegas. Yes, okay. So that's what you mean. But he still has legions of fans who will show up for his farewell tour. Kenny said since this is his last time out, he'll be overseeing every aspect of the tour, from the selections of songs that he plays to the size of the venues, down to the very programs that will be sold at the venue. Says when it comes to making programs, he knows when to hold them and when to fold them.
Oh, man.
Wow.
Wrong.
I'm unsatisfied.
Sit down.
I'm telling you, if you take NyQuil during the day,
it's good fun.
It's really fun. It makes everything better. Everything. Even when I get over this cold, I may just keep up with it.
Just stay on it?
Sure. Yes. Today's celebrity birthday is Delroy Lindo is 63 years old today. Comedian Kevin Nealon is 62. Elizabeth Perkins is 55. A lot of people asking for Belle for Elizabeth Perkins.
Well, I thought about it and then declined. What do you guys think?
Boy, she's right on the line for me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It's a tough call. A lot of pressure. No one wanted to hit the bell.
Boy, I sure loved her in Big, though. Remember her in Big?
Yeah.
You want to have a sleepover?
It was 30 years ago.
Cool.
Yeah.
I get the top bunk.
I mean, she was for many years on the Weeds. She was on Weeds, and she was great on the show, but I'm not sure Belle worthy. I apologize to say. She's a terrific actress, though.
Wow, she's going to be tragically upset. Kirk Hammett from Metallica is 53. Owen Wilson is 47. Mike Epps is 45. Chloe Sevigny is 41 years old today. And actor Damon Wayans Jr., probably best known for his work on New Girl. Very funny man. 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Hey, taking your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. It's Kevin and Bean's What's Good. But before we get to that, Kevin, quick reminder from you. Go.
Yes. My wife and I run a charity for abused women and children called Friends and Helpers. And when women are abused and their kids, they flee the home. They go to these shelters. The shelters give them food, a place to live, and training for a job. And we go to 17 of these shelters, and they give us the names of the mom, the names of the kids, and what they would like for Christmas. And a lot of times it's like socks.
Yeah.
It's like depressing that somebody would want that for Christmas, but we still have a bunch of families that we need to adopt out. So if you would be so kind as to check it out, it's friendsandhelpers.org.
All right. Do something nice for someone for the holidays if you can. We appreciate it. 8:10. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up.
right. Comedian Greg Fitzsimmons joins us in studio coming up next. First, though, how about Alex in Santa Clarita to get us going for this edition of What's Good? He is on line one, and he's calling about something that a lot of people are buzzing about right now. Hey, Alex, welcome to the show.
And goodbye, Alex. Thank you for calling.
What just happened to Alex?
I don't know. I hung up. That wasn't me.
That's weird. Huh. Alex was we may be having some trouble with line one. That's not the first time that's happened today. Alex was calling about the rumors that are going around about Guns N' Roses original members planning a reunion tour. And it seems like, although we've heard that many times in the past, it seems like this one's picking up some serious steam, like it really could be happening. Your level of interest, kids, on a Guns N' Roses original lineup reunion?
I'd see it.
You would?
Yeah, absolutely.
I feel like fool me once.
Yeah,
like
you
that,
went, you know, because, and what happened?
Well, a couple of different times. They would show up really late. There was a New Year's Eve show in Vegas where they didn't go until 4 a.m. on New Year's Eve.
That
like
sucks.
You expect maybe that they would. I think we have Alex back. Hi, Alex.
Hi. So I just wanted to talk about the earth-shattering rumors online where they're reporting that the Guns N' Roses should be reuniting. And the basis for this is that Slash some months ago reported that he's on speaking terms with Axl Rose.
Right.
And then last month, they reported that the other members of Guns N' Roses, DJ Ashba, and all the other new members, basically, have been fired or have left the band. And then just a couple of weeks ago, they reported that Axl Rose, sources close to Axl Rose, reported that he should try to get in shape. And they interviewed...
Alex. It does look like it's happening. Or would you go?
I would absolutely go. I mean, this is 20 years or so in the making, and people, fans, have been wanting the original lineup to come back. They wanted to see Slash with Axl's voice. If he gets in shape, I hope he doesn't look like the fat blob that he's been performing on stage just recently, but... I would absolutely go.
All right.
And by the way, and lose the cornrows, too. If you really want to give me an original Guns N' Roses experience, lose the cornrows. Because that's not
exactly
working for you or for any
man. I feel like the cornrows are a good choice. And he should keep doing what he's doing.
Thank you for calling back. We appreciate it. Let's go to Daryl. He's in Upland. He's got an interesting question. Daryl, thank you for calling. What's good?
Good morning, gentlemen. My What's Good segment starts with a question first to Ralph, because I know he drives a Grabber yellow Mustang. Mm-hmm. First of all, is your Mustang a stick shift? And why have stick shifts become so unpopular? I was reading recently that in 1980, 35% of cars sold in North America were stick shifts. Now it's down to like 6% of cars. I recently tried to buy a stick shift. They're hard to find. Why isn't anybody driving a stick shift anymore? Like, it's a man's car. Like, why wouldn't you drive a stick shift? It's fun.
I agree 100% with
you. I don't find it fun at all. I don't find it fun at all. I'll drive it.
Yeah, I wonder if traffic plays a part. So many more cars on the road. Do you want to be in stop-and-go traffic with a stick shift?
I could
doesn't bother
every
me at all.
Morning.
Doesn't bother me
every
all.
Morning.
Doesn't bother Daryl
at
all.
It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, I try to buy... I've been in the exact same shoes you've been in, which is that I've tried to buy cars that I like. They just don't even make them in stick shifts. And every time I travel and I rent a car, I can't even rent a stick shift. I mean, they're almost impossible to find.
None of the big three make a pickup truck, a freaking pickup truck. You can't buy in a stick shift anymore.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
The other thing, Allie, to your point, you know, like I have five kids, and I taught all of them how to drive a stick shift. Mm-hmm. When my three adult daughters bought their first new own car, their first cars, they all bought stick shifts. They're fun to drive.
Because they were afraid of you.
No.
They were like, Dad's going to make us drive a stick shift.
Part of it is stick shifts are less expensive. But, okay. Ralph, is your Mustang a stick shift, or are you driving a lady's Mustang?
No. It's a standard, and I've every car I've ever owned has been a standard. I've never driven an automatic.
So why aren't they making standards anymore?
They still
you know
do.
What?
If you buy a man's car like a Mustang, you can still get it with a standard.
But like what? Like I drive a Mercedes, Ralph.
Well,
they should make a Mercedes.
You're a
they
woman.
They should make a Mercedes with a stick shift.
Rich boys don't use stick shifts. Only men who get down there with their muscle cars use stick shifts, right, bro?
Exactly.
They're not only cheaper, they're better gas mileage too, right?
Bean, shut up. Daryl's trying to talk.
That's right.
Okay, sorry.
Preach, Daryl.
I'm just saying my Jeep, a six-speed stick shift. I think a Jeep should be a stick shift. I think if you're driving an automatic, you know, off-road vehicle, you're kind of faking it.
Right.
All right.
You're a woman or you're Stephen Hawking.
I got your answer, Daryl, and that is tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock, our friend Bo Bachman is going to be in studio talk about the LA Auto Show. You know Bo.
Okay.
And we will ask him that question, and we'll find out for you, because he's certainly the guy who would know about how cars are made. All right?
You can't buy a Ford.
All right, Daryl. Okay.
Daryl loves some stick shift.
Wow.
Man.
Put the penises away. We
Holy
get
crap.
It.
Crap.
Take it easy.
Let's do one more.
All right. Shut up.
See what happens when I
with you.
And
see
I
what
want
happens
you
when I don't hang up.
But how do you feel about stick shifts?
Let's go to.
Here's my guess. Here's my guess is that kids aren't learning on stick shifts anymore, so that you're
so when you go
you're
by
breeding
car.
A whole generation of people who don't know how to drive a standard. So there's no
but if
desire
they made
for them
more
anymore.
Of them, people would buy more of them, and therefore more kids would be learning on them.
Listen,
instead
listen,
they're learning on automatics.
People are lazy. They don't want to work while they drive.
I got to be honest. I don't like care about
this. Preach it, Ralph. Preach it.
Is he still on? Daryl, one of the smartest guys we know, one of our favorite comedians, Greg Fitzsimmons, back in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show in town this weekend for a show at the Hollywood Improv at 8pmimprov.com. Greg, how are you?
It's a pleasure to be back in the gym, ready to work it out with you guys, do a little sparring.
Every time you walk in, and you always, Greg is a guy who always wears, what do you call those, the hat that you got on the top of your head? I always think of it as a newsboy cap, but that's not it. What is
it's
it?
It's a yarmulke. No, it's a yeah. It's I guess you call it. I think you call it a newsboy cap.
Do you?
Yeah.
I see you walk in, and I always think you're going to have like the biggest Cockney accent.
Hey,
Governor, how you doing? It always looks like you should be in some like 1950s London movie or something.
You know, I feel that way. I feel like that guy. You know, I'm the quick-tempered guy. Although I got rid of the toothpick, I realized like. To any guy that does the toothpick in his mouth, can you say douche on your show?
Sure.
It's strange to say it and then ask, but yes.
I said, all right, go ahead.
I think that the likelihood of the guy being a douche and having a toothpick in his mouth is extremely high.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's probably in direct relation.
And were you that guy for a while, or is that what you're suggesting, is you at one time had the toothpick?
Well, I was born in the Bronx, and so there's a part of me that still feels like I'm that scrappy Irish guy, even though I then grew up mostly in the suburbs. Mm-hmm. So I think out of a head nod to my heritage, I try to act a little bit like a badass, even though I'm 5'8", 150 pounds.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Not well.
You don't strike me as a badass.
Well, I'm not, but, you know, I was in jail three times.
Spent the weekend in jail three times for fighting.
Yeah, I used to
Why
get into
fights a lot. You've never told us this story before.
Because it doesn't come up because I don't look like I was that guy. And I still...
Three different times, all for fighting?
Drunken fighting. Just straight up drunken fighting.
I don't believe you.
I have so much respect for you now that I know that with the Newsies cap.
I have a book called Dear Mrs. Fitzsimmons, Tales of Redemption from an Irish Mailbox, and it's about...
I read part of that.
Right. Well, in it, there's all...
Maybe you should have read more of it.
I love that. That's the worst thing you could say to a human being. I read part of that.
Oh, man. That first half of chapter one was so good, Greg.
Boy, that dust cover really keeps the dust off.
So you were in jail three different times for the weekend.
I've got all the arrest reports in the book.
How old were you?
Well, I have this knack of getting arrested on a Friday night, and then the judge comes in on Monday at noon.
Wow.
Yeah.
So that's bad timing on your part.
It's horrible timing, and the worst part is that in jail, people don't talk about this. There's no windows generally, and they don't turn the lights on and off. They keep them at one sort of one temperature.
Okay.
And so you have no idea. And the guards like to not tell you what day it is or what time it is.
So you just have to guess? Like, has it been 3 days yet?
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah. But I was the first time I was about 15 or 16. And then I was 19. And then I was about
last
21.
Year? Oh, 21. Okay.
Actually, so it's gotten a lot. I quit drinking 25 years ago. So that might have been...
Were you winning those fights? Were you a good fighter?
I never won, but I never lost.
Okay, you should see the other guy, that kind of thing.
Well, kind of like I broke a bottle once, and was charged with assault with a deadly weapon, and just I would do whatever I had to do.
Okay, now, how do you when you think back on that person, that 20-year-old Greg Fitzsimmons? Are you embarrassed by it? Are you happy that you had those experiences? You're glad you went through it. Does it seem like a different person? What's your relationship now when you think about that time?
Well, I guess I wouldn't be the per, you know, not to sound corny, but like I wouldn't have quit drinking if I did hadn't gone that far. And I'm happy I quit drinking because I've got a beautiful wife, 34 D's. I got two.
That's a strange thing.
Yeah, most guys that drink can't get ladies with boobs that big.
No, yeah, no, you can't. No, you end up with that. These okay. little 32 Bs.
Yeah.
And my kids are great. I have an amazing relationship with my kids. I got good friends. I'm healthy. I'm miserable. But, you know, on the surface, everything looks great.
I know 3 days, that's the longest you ever spent in jail was 3 days?
Yes.
Okay. Did you ever take a lover?
It's a fair question.
Look, it's a fair question. Needs, you know, maybe you say no Friday night, but right. by the time Saturday night comes around, right. you go, look, life's for the living.
Right. It's like the, it's like that scene from Almost Famous where they think the plane is going down and they all start yes. confessing to things they've done wrong.
Right.
Yeah,
that's the most surprising thing I could have been. If you'd have given me a list of 100 things and I had to pick which one was true yeah. about Greg Fitzsimmons, did 3 stints in the joint would not have been the one I would have picked.
Yeah, just got into a fight last year with a guy, and
fist fight.
It got broken up, but it was going there.
Were you ready to throw?
There's video camera footage, there's security camera footage of me, taking a swing and then it gets blocked and then everybody jumps in.
Really?
Yeah.
Did you take the newsies hat off?
Is that the
sign like he's serious now? That's
the funniest part about the video is you see me whip off my glasses and put my coffee down all in like 1 second.
What happened? What was this about?
It was about a parking spot. It was stupid, you know? It was stupid. But he then needled me and followed me and it turned into something where I felt like eventually he said F you to me. And I don't know what it is, but that flips a switch for me.
Uh-huh.
And I just, everything turns red. And I lose control.
I feel like until this moment, I've never been afraid of you, but I need to be.
Yeah.
No, you really
need
don't.
To watch my step.
Greg,
you
Greg
said you almost got to fight a year ago.
Yeah, but what am I, a walking time bomb?
Possibly.
Seems like
that's
it.
What we're getting to.
Well,
yeah.
Well, listen, you can go see Greg Saturday night at the Improv, but be careful, man. Just be careful what you say to him.
Don't throw around the F word.
I got to get there, and everybody's going to be seated around the perimeter of the room. Nobody near the stage.
Greg will cut a bitch, so look out. Tickets available now through improv.com. Again, it's the Hollywood location this Saturday night. More with our guest right after this on K-Rock.
You need new friends, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
They're great individually. When they become a
Greg
group,
Fitzsimmons, stand-up comedian in studio with us here on the Kevin DeBean Show. Headphones, please. Hollywood Improv this Saturday night at 8 o'clock. By the way, we had a bet, the over-under, on how long till Allie brought up that you guys both went to Boston College, and it was about 7 minutes.
He went to BU. I went to BC. Very different.
Okay. Very different. So you guys friends or mortal enemies?
Mortal enemies.
Well, I would, you know, I guess if, see, BU never had a football team that was worth anything. So BC, we just sort of, we gave you that. But then we had hockey.
Right.
Which was just the greatest. I mean, we would go to games at BU. You get a season ticket. And there was, the place held like 5,000 people. And it was still the days when you could drink beer at sporting events at your college.
Oh, yeah.
And I mean, it was the greatest thing in the world. Everybody came out. And I mean, hockey is the best live sport to watch.
Agreed.
Agreed.
Even though I know you love soccer.
No, I love hockey too. I'm a big LA Kings fan.
Oh, you are?
So is Allie, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah.
Nothing better live.
Yeah. So it was fun. But, you know, Boston College was all like the, you know, Sully. How you doing? This is Sully from Dorchester. And I'm dating Kelly. Hi, I'm Kelly from Connecticut. And I believe in Jesus Christ as my Savior, but I'm still having sex with Sully from Dorchester because it's kind of interesting and new, and I'm rebelling against Daddy. And then BU is just like Jewish girls from Long Island, and they were having sex with everybody. It was the greatest 4 years of my life.
Wow.
Sounds like
yeah.
it. Wow.
It was really good.
Greg, where are you in the process of what you do? I know you have an hour of new material right now. Is that what we're looking at the Improv this weekend? Are you
I
making
do.
A special? What are you doing?
Well, I did a special a couple years ago, and now I've got a new hour, and I'm getting ready to go shop it and shoot it. But it's a lot about being a dad who my son is 15, and I'm getting to the point where you know my kids don't think that I'm cool. And I just want to sit them down and go, hey, I am way cooler than you will ever hope to be.
They got to hear your prison, Chuck. That'll change their mind.
Yeah, right. Like, they haven't read my book yet, and I really think it might be time for my son to read my book. Except wow. Then every single thing he does wrong, he's going to go, Dad, you did it.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
time for tough. Scared Straight, isn't it?
Right. Right. It's time for Scared Straight. And it really is. It burns you because you can't tell them. You want to sit them down and go, hey, guess what? Your dad had a three-way. That's right.
With you two
guys.
Dad.
With two guys.
If you left off the words your dad, that's a fine story.
Yeah, right, right,
that's
right.
That's a great story.
Yeah. So it's really a time of restraint. And at the same time, like you – I want it when my son gets in trouble for something. I do want to say I used to do that all the time.
Right.
But I don't know what's the wisdom
well,
on that?
The truth is you cannot. It is impossible. And by the way, this is me giving advice, guy who doesn't have kids. It's impossible to stop your kids from repeating your mistakes. It just can't happen. Everybody has to do those things on their way up. There's nothing. All you can do is be there to counsel them when they go wrong.
Right.
That's all you can do.
Right.
What's the Kevin, would you agree
making?
With that?
What's the decision you're making? Like,
I'm trying to not be a warden as much as, yeah, as an advisor. I say, look, you're not allowed to do this, but if you do it, I want to know about it. And then he right. tells you about it, and you go,
I
and then you
I
go, right, right, exactly. So it's like, I mean, I'd rather it's like that movie Imitation Game,
right?
Where you know what the Nazis are going to do, but if you call them on it, they're going to know that you broke the code.
That's right.
So I have ways of finding out stuff about him, and
you're reading your son's email. We got
well, whatever you know. Certain intelligence is gathered.
My mom in the last week has started following family members on Instagram, and that's not okay.
Yeah.
Right. You just go no.
No, well,
you can't block your mom
that's
either. That's
you.
The problem.
This isn't for you, Mom.
Does that change the way you put things up on Instagram?
No, not at all. But, yeah, it does a little bit.
It
yeah.
has to. Yeah. Your mom can't enjoy the Hooters pictures that you put up all the time.
When my mom comes to town, I tell her that we can't get the radio station at our house.
Right. Right.
Which is true for about half the city. We have a pretty crappy signal. But I tell her, oh, it's not even worth trying.
Yeah. Have you ever brought her in on the show?
No.
Come on.
No, what's wrong with you?
These guys are dying for you to bring her in.
I know. Do you think I would give these guys a second with my mom?
What question would you guys ask his mom if you had a chance?
I don't feel like we need to explore this.
I mean, look, how does she deal with the shame? I guess would be the question that I would ask. I mean, what must it be like to look at your life's work there and your son, Kevin, and right. realize that you're responsible for unleashing that on
She's
the
She's proud of me, Bean.
What's
oh,
it
is
like
she? I think.
What's it like being at Bridge and other moms talking about their doctor son and their humanitarian son?
Yeah. Well, I do have two brothers, and they're both in computers.
Yeah.
And they're dark hair, dark eyes. So I feel like maybe I was a dog.
There may be some questions to be asked.
It's possible.
Hey, listen, this is the voice of Greg Fitzsimmons here on the Kevin DeBeach Show, Hollywood Improv, this Saturday night. I don't want to spend a lot of time on it, Greg, but I do want to bring it up just because it has made you a lot of headlines recently as a result of the Esquire article. Can you please explain to us just briefly what we need to know about Greg Fitzsimmons versus Dr. William Cosby?
Well, let me just go out on the record as saying I'm anti-Bill Cosby.
Okay.
Ooh, hot take.
And, hot take. Whoa, and man. I really, you know, and I feel strongly about that. And I've gotten a lot of kickback. Blowback or kickback?
I think it's blowback.
I think it's blowback, yeah.
So what I did was I said, how can I hurt Bill Cosby? It enrages me that there's this statute of limitations that I don't understand.
That he's still walking the earth.
That yeah, he's still walking the earth.
I agree.
And I want to do whatever I can to encourage him to take his own life. And so I thought, as a comedian, the cardinal rule is you never steal jokes from somebody.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But then you think about like what happened with, I'm not going to say which comedian, stole jokes from Bill Cosby, ruined his career. I said, I don't care. I'm going to steal Bill Cosby's jokes. I'm just going to start doing them. I'm going to encourage every other comic to do the same thing.
And the reason is just to anger Bill Cosby?
Just to piss him off.
Okay,
and to
kind
of take his legacy from him.
Yeah.
You know, take these jokes and let us all do them until nobody remembers they were Bill Cosby jokes anymore.
Because that way we can still enjoy the great humor without having to associate ourselves with a psychopath.
Well, that's the question is, can you separate the art from the artist? I mean, you can watch a Roman Polanski movie and probably not get bothered by what the director did. Woody Allen, probably. But I don't. Michael Jackson, people are dancing with their children at weddings to Michael Jackson songs.
Yeah.
So
true.
Can you reappropriate Bill Cosby's outstanding material and take it away from rapist Bill Cosby.
What's your experience with that? Have you been able to?
It's been tough because, you know, I try to do the material first and then I tell people afterwards that it's his.
Mm-hmm.
And then usually, like, the joke takes a turn for the rapey. Like in the dentist routine, the dentist ends up fellating the guy. And then there's, you know, Noah gives Dramamine to all the animals, and then he has sex with them. So there's a Bill Cosby turn
right.
to each of the jokes.
Right.
But first,
and the Spanish fly, you don't have to change that joke at all.
How about that?
Yeah.
Yeah, how
That's
about that?
Crazy. And so I do it for a while, and then Esquire did a piece on it, and then NPR did, and then CBC, which is Canada's NPR. And then all of a sudden, I started getting hate mail from comedians saying it's never okay to steal. And I just think,
even though you put out there, this is what I'm doing, this is who I'm doing it against, and this is why.
The comedy world is filled with wannabe comics that don't even make a living at it, but they want to be the joke police, and they want to tell you what's right and wrong. I've been doing this 26 years.
Right.
I've never stolen a joke in my life. Can you see that this is a conceptual piece that I'm doing?
Right. Right.
So,
and the audience is, from what I understand, when they realize what you're doing, they're with you. They want to be part of hurting Bill Cosby.
Yes,
as well,
their faces
like.
Light up. Yeah. They think it's really great. And but the trouble is, in getting them to laugh at the routine, there's a part of me that feels like I'm glorifying Bill Cosby, which feels like not what my intention is.
Yeah, so that's a very fine line to walk.
Yeah, that would feel weird.
Right.
All right, I have a serious question for you, Greg,
yes.
because this is an issue that you're obviously passionate about, and we all just feel terrible that these women seem to have, for the most part, no legal recourse. Why do you think there has been no discussion in this country at all that I am aware of to put rape on the list of crimes without a statute of limitations?
Well, especially now that
no
we
one's
have,
talking about that.
We have these rape kits.
Yeah,
where,
DNA kits. It's so easy to say that's him.
Right, right. I mean, in the past it was, I mean, you could understand to some extent that somebody's memory after X number of years is not going to be that good. You certainly don't want somebody becoming famous and then being targeted by people that want money from them. But when there's a rape kit involved that it lasts, I would imagine, for hundreds of years, you could still test the DNA of somebody. But so I think they need to re-examine that law. But I also think that, you know, people – like I don't think people get punched in the face enough anymore. I think that
– Okay.
You know, like somebody
– You're doing your part. I know that.
Why hasn't somebody attacked Bill Cosby? And I'm not –
I think in a civilized society, that's not how we settle disagreements.
Well, then that's a problem.
That's the problem.
I think that if somebody had done this to my girlfriend, wife, daughter – Bill Cosby would be in serious trouble.
Yeah.
Right.
And the fact that there's 40 women that have 40 brothers and 40 sons, how come nobody's done anything to Bill Cosby? Is his security that good?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't have.
You know, I hadn't thought of it, but it is a little bit surprising that there isn't one person out there who would have come to that conclusion and gone for it.
Throw blood on him, or just, you know, anything that you see social activists do that can embarrass. To me, it's about how do we continue to embarrass and shame this guy? He's still going out and doing. I don't know if he's doing it anymore, but he was doing live shows until last month.
People were buying tickets
with supporters.
Right.
Yeah,
disgusting.
With supporters. Yeah,
right.
Yeah, don't let him get away with it. That's your point, and I think that's well taken. I think I'm with you on that. Greg Fitzsimmons is going to be at the Hollywood Improv Saturday night at 8 o'clock. And by the way, I can't
big
let
surprise
you go
guest for that, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, surprise big surprise guest.
A comedian?
Comedian, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, she's one of the best in the business. And
we love Whitney Cummings. We're very excited she's going to be there. That's great.
Whitney will not be there.
Is it someone that has a really good dramatic movie right now?
There's a lot of great female comics out there.
Right.
And
is there one that just wrote and starred in a comedy movie?
There's Tig Notaro is really a great comedian.
Yes, that's correct.
She will not be there.
Okay.
She will not be there.
Amy Schumer.
Amy Schumer.
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God.
Right.
Is she funny?
She's right. The best, right?
And, her sketch show is great.
Right.
She's out of town.
Okay. Not there. Okay.
Right.
Not there. All right.
But it's a great show, and okay. Thank you for plugging it.
And I also want to, just as you leave, as a parting gift, I want to say, and I've told you this on Twitter before, you're one of your podcast is great, the Fitzdog Radio podcast, and you are one of the great interviewers in the business, and I mean that sincerely. I mean, I really am, and so awesome, so impressed with what you get out of people. I mean, you really do a terrific job on the
that
podcast.
Means a tremendous amount to me. Thank you very much.
And one of my favorite comedians of all time, Jimmy Pardo, is on today's podcast, if you want to check it out on Fitzdog Radio. So
Pardo comes on. Yeah.
I feel like Bean's just trying not to get punched right now. That's what's going on. Just protecting himself.
You had to take it away from me. There was a nice moment.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You know?
I should have waited until you left and then said, hey, Bean, you were
right.
I'm sorry.
Have a great time this Saturday. Always good to see you, Greg. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks again for having me.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 8:56.
Hey, Ralph Garman.
To all those writing, tweeting, emails, calls on the business line, anger,
right,
saying they've got playing with the boys stuck in their heads, you are welcome, my friends. You are welcome. It's the least I could do for you. The reason it came up is that Val Kilmer yesterday on his Facebook page posted that he got an offer. He didn't have to audition or anything. He just called him up and said, would you like to be in Top Gun 2? Iceman. And he said, hell yeah.
I feel like they...
I'll be your wingman any day.
They should have checked in on his weight before they extended that offer.
How dare you.
I'm just saying, he tends to be up and down quite a bit.
Top Gun. One of our listeners just sent an email and said, given Val's current weight, he should be called Control Top Gun. Because Control Top pantyhose are what the ladies wear to...
Right.
To appear slimmer.
Right.
He has expanded in recent years.
I hope his health holds out. Last I heard, he was dealing with a throat tumor.
Oh, man.
Oh.
And
this is going to be a very different Top Gun.
He is reportedly a Christian Scientist.
Uh-oh. Are they the ones that don't go to doctors?
They don't believe in modern medicine.
Ooh.
So friends and family have said he's not getting taken care of. So I'm hoping that is not the case and that he's healthy and will be ready. When the volleyball net goes up, when the boys get oiled up, they get out the balls, the volleyballs, of course, I'm talking about.
Sure.
They start playing in the sun down there at Palo Alto or Palomar, wherever it was. Yeah. Set me up, man. Fight, goose, in your face. Yeah. That's right. One of life's simple joys, playing with the boys.
Sure.
It's one of life's simple joys, getting balls spiked in your face by Mav and the Iceman.
Ralph, forgive me if this is
the coroner.
Heresy.
It was coroner, was that a call sign?
I don't think coroner, no.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Duck lips? The duck lips? He was one of the call signs, wasn't he?
I don't think so either.
Is
Dingleberry?
Is Top Gun one of those movies that people think fondly of, but if they were to go back and watch it today with 21st century eyes, they would realize it's horrible?
First, where do you get a pair of those 21st century eyes? Are they like bionic? Can you see?
I think we all have 21st century eyes. What I'm saying is the movie has not held up well.
I would beg to differ, my friend.
Really?
I have seen it not
it's
that
still
long ago.
Good?
And it's good in a whole different kind of way now.
Right, but you didn't think of it that way when you first saw it.
No, my friends always like, oh, no, you didn't. You buzzed the tower. But now I watch, I'm like, this is some sweet-ass, retro, kitschy 80s love right here. And it's a very simple story. It's very boy meets boy, boy loves boy, boy breaks up with boy, boy loses boy. Boy decides to go with girl because he lost
the,
boy.
Right back to
is that
boy.
The movie? The movie where I have the need for speed. Is that the movie where that came from?
The fact that you have to ask that question. The fact that you have to ask that question means we have we no longer have anything to talk about regarding this subject.
So I haven't memorized Top Gun.
No, you do not get to participate in the Top Gun conversation any longer. Those are the rules.
Was that where they mentioned that speed thing, that speedy thing that they talk about?
Sit down.
Take me to bed now or lose me forever.
Meg Ryan. That was in a movie, too.
Meg Ryan.
She blew up in after that film. Anthony Edwards. That movie created a lot of stars, right? The Kelly McGillis.
Yeah, that's right.
Anyway, they're going to remake one, they're going to make a sequel rather, and apparently Val's in, and Cruz has said all the time that he's been in, so it looks like we're going to get the band back together. I'm very excited.
This band?
I can't tell you how many times that inspired me and my friends just to strip down to our waist and just oil up and engage in some volleyball shenanigans.
Go on.
Stop it, lady. Creepy lady. Creepy she-bean.
Mm-hmm.
I'm also excited about this, and you're going to mock me. But you remember how much I loved Smash when no one else was watching Smash? How much
really?
I loved Smash.
Oh, God.
Oh, couldn't get enough Smash. Loved me some Smash. That was the NBC, short-lived NBC series about the behind-the-scenes creation of a Broadway musical.
Yeah. That was Catherine McPhee, right?
It was. Mm-hmm. It was Catherine McPhee. And also one of my other major crushers, Megan Hilty, also starred on that show.
Oh, yeah.
Deborah Messing was in it, yeah. And the musical they were doing was based on the life of Marilyn Monroe. It was called Bombshell. And there was the original music for it, and they pretty much staged it during the course of the series. And everyone said, hey, this is a pretty good thing. This isn't just a show within a show kind of thing. This could stand on its own. So they did a concert-style version as a charity event, a Broadway concert of the music in June with the cast members from the series, and it went very well. And now they're bringing it to Broadway as a full-length stage musical. Bombshell is going to be a musical. And I'm looking forward to it enormously.
I hope you enjoy it.
I may audition for the Joe DiMaggio role. Couldn't you see me as Jolton Joe?
Sure.
And I strip down to my waist. I go, playing with the boy.
No.
Here's Top Gun the musical. That's what I want to see. That would be a good time. Barbara Walters has announced she will be sitting down.
She retired.
No,
she can't announce anything anymore.
She's back.
Wait, is that the end
she
of the sentence?
She went away.
Just that she's sitting down?
And never getting up again. She'll be sitting down with the next First Lady, Melania Trump.
Oh, excellent.
As well as the Donald and his children on this Friday's edition of ABC's 2020.
And they're from Canada.
No, they're not from Canada.
Not from Canada at all.
They're legendary New Yorkers. But Babs is coming out of retirement to sit down with future President Donald Trump and his wife and the kids. And we're going to learn everything we ever wanted to know about Donald Trump.
When they start, you think he's going to say,
sit down. He will, and then she will. She'll take a seat, and then they'll start talking.
The best-looking First Lady in history. Melania Trump, right there.
I don't know. That Barbara Bush.
Well, she's number two, obviously.
She gives her a run for her money, don't you think?
I just want to remind you guys that the election is actually a year from now.
Yeah. Nope.
Okay.
It's got to be. It's got to be the end of the month.
A
right?
year from
like
now.
Like next Tuesday? Isn't
oh
this election
God.
Day next Tuesday?
Nope. This is going to go on all next year.
It sure feels like this.
Kevin, when it comes down to it, and I know it's hard to get a presidential pick out of you, but when it comes down to it, you're in the ballot box. Can you pull the trigger for Donald Trump as president?
Am I in the ballot box? In the ballot box?
Do I climb in the ballot box?
There's not room for him. He's a big guy.
And could I change other people's votes if I'm in there?
You don't want him in there. He's mucking with the Chads.
How about the voting booth instead?
All right,
are you going to be able to vote for Donald Trump? I know how you always say you're the guy who votes for comedy.
Right, but I say that because I can do that, and then people who have common sense all overwhelm me.
They cancel out your vote? Right. I don't know if that's going to happen this
But if
time.
Everybody else feels the way I do, then maybe I can't.
Yeah. Oh,
come
I
on.
See what you're saying.
Everybody else
you're
has to play.
Spot
stay
now.
In your lane, people.
The world may be too dangerous a place now to vote for comedy. That's all I'm saying. We might have to straighten our asses up and fly right.
Wrong.
All right, never mind. The president just told me I was wrong.
Wrong.
That's shameful. That's not American.
No, it isn't.
Right.
Have you heard, by the way, that Anonymous has declared war on ISIS?
Yeah. No, I've not heard that.
Yeah.
Okay.
You don't want Anonymous mad at you.
No, I don't think so.
They put on that mask. Next thing you know, all your Ashley Madison info is out there for everybody to read. Imagine the guys from ISIS are not Ashley Madison. They're going to be embarrassed. They won't get their 72 virgins, whatever they get. Yeesh. Today's celebrity birthdays. Damon Wayans Jr. is 33 years old today. Chloe Sevigny is 41 years old today. A lot of blowback being about that Chloe belt.
They're wrong.
A lot
they
of blowback.
On this one. Look, I know Chloe goes out of her way to look as unattractive as possible. She does not do anything to conform to conventional beauty standards, but she is naturally beautiful. Allie, give me a little help here, girl.
Yeah, girl.
Yeah, girl. girlfriend.
I would give Elizabeth Perkins one.
Before Chloe Sevigny?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think, Bean, if you have to...
Shut up, girl.
That went well.
If you have to start by saying, she does nothing to conform to conventional beauty standards.
Well, she does.
The bell sort of is the barometer of conventional beauty, don't
yeah,
you
it
think?
It sort of is, yeah.
It's but not about your own little twisted
fetishes. This isn't twisted at all. This is she is a naturally beautiful woman who refuses to put on makeup, put on a dress, comb her hair, you know, do all the things that other people do to look
all
good.
The things
right?
that people make people attractive.
That's why you ring the bell for everyone else.
But that's always been my standard of attractiveness. That's what I do. I refuse to comb my hair or bathe. My wife loves
very,
it.
Very pretty.
Wrong. Yeah. I don't know, buddy. Just saying. Mike Epps is 45 years old today. Owen Wilson is 47. Have you seen the new trailer for Zoolander 2?
Yes.
They're back.
Yes, they are.
They're spies now. They're model spies. Penelope Cruz looks pretty good in that trailer, by the way.
Yeah.
Kirk Hammett from Metallica is 53 years old. Elizabeth Perkins turns 55. Kevin Nealon, 62. And Delroy Lindo, very talented actor, is 63. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Well, 6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:42.
By the way, if you have not yet heard, Coldplay rescheduled their show that was supposed to be last Friday for this coming Saturday night, November 21st at the Blasco Theater. It is going to be streaming live at Tidal.com starting at 8:30. So if you're not lucky enough to have those tickets that we gave away here at K-Rock, you can still watch the thing live on the computer, Tidal.com Saturday night. Ralph is here now. Time for the showbiz beat. What's going on?
I think the audience will do the wave.
I don't... at a Coldplay show?
Oh,
well,
geez.
I think that's likely.
I think it'd be cool.
I don't think so.
Because then it'd be a tidal wave.
Yeah, I got it, Ralph. And the fact that you had to explain it is devastating.
I know, isn't it? You see, Allie, they make me. They make me do this.
But wait, is that bad on our part or on his part?
A little bit of both, okay. But mostly you.
Mostly me, all right.
Okay. Ready for a new Tomb Raider movie? It's going to happen.
Was that Angelina Jolie?
That was the original, and yeah. Also in the sequel, she played Lara Croft, the English archaeologist, in the same vein as Indiana Jones, only a lot hotter. Developed from the mega hit video game series, of course. Well, a director has been hired. All that's left is for the script to be written.
Just
and
that?
The cast to be picked. But other than that, they're good to go. I'd like to see another Tomb Raider film. I enjoyed those films.
I did, too.
She was great in it.
She was.
She made a very convincing Lara Croft. Very few female stars are believable action heroes, and she's certainly one of them. I think Melissa McCarthy's the other one. I like Spy.
I did, too.
I did. That was good.
Couldn't tell if you were joking.
50 Shades of Grey, while we're talking about sequels, is getting two sequels shot back-to-back starting early next year. Jamie Dornan and Dakota Johnson will be back as Christian Grey and Anastasia Steele. Annie Steele. In the sequel, it's called 50 Shades Darker and 50 Shades Freed, which are, of course, based on the E.L. James best-selling crap fests.
The first movie was awful also, right?
Yes.
But it made a ton of dough.
Made a ton of money. Right?
It's one of those weird things where everybody that reads the book goes, okay, that's crappy.
Right.
But everybody buys it.
I didn't enjoy it, but I read it.
Right.
And everybody saw the movie said, oh, I didn't enjoy it,
but
I went.
But I'll go again, too.
But that's the sweetest kind of money to take from people's pockets. Hey, remember that thing you didn't like? We're making more of it. Are you going to come? Yes, we are. All right, great. Well, come on in. Happy to take your cash. They're back there just rubbing their hands together. We don't even have to make anything good, and they're giving us money.
It's a strange phenomenon.
Allie, what's the appeal of that 50 Shades of Grey nonsense?
I don't know.
You're asking the wrong gal,
I didn't get it. I prefer real porn.
What the?
What the who? Were we? I said too much.
That's always
the case.
But I like that you fell back on your old prospector voice to inform us about that. I said too much. They got their hands on the map. Now I'm going to lose that gold mine. Come on, old Sparky.
It really was weird when Sam Elliott showed up out of nowhere.
The dude endures, or the dude provides, or whatever the dude does.
He abides.
He doesn't provide, I know that.
He does. The dude provides.
Oh,
looking
God.
For a white Russian. Zayn Malik is speaking out about his defection from One Direction.
Hey, I'm just happy he got out over the border, man.
Anyone? I'm looking around the room.
Talking
anyone?
About him defecting, like he was escaping from an oppressive regime.
I thought there had to be more than that.
Right, there had to be a song called Over the Border or something.
No.
I thought.
Not at all.
Being if I'm thinking there has to be more to that.
Okay.
Right?
See, Tidal Wave looking pretty good now, isn't it?
Yeah. That was the good old days.
I'm like Noel Coward.
That was the golden age of comedy right there.
That was Oscar Wilde material right there.
What's going on with our sweet Zayn?
Well, he's talking about why he left the band. He told Fader magazine that he just didn't like their music.
Okay.
Zayn and I have something in common.
Odd.
He wanted the band to move more in an R&B direction, and that just wasn't going to happen, says Zayn. Here's his quote. I would sing a hook or a verse slightly R&B, or slightly myself, he says. He was being himself.
Mm.
And it would always be recorded 50 times until there was a straight version that was pop. And then he says that is the version, inevitably, that they would use in the recording. Generic as F, he called the music.
Well, I'll be curious to see if he ends up having a solo career now. Is he going to end up being a Joey Fatone, or is it going to be a Justin Timberlake? I guess we'll find out.
What's going on with the band? Are they still are they making new music?
The rest of them are fine. Yeah, the rest of them are all still together.
They're still doing
new record thing. Just came out. Big, big hit.
Looks like Universal is going to reboot all of their classic horror movie monsters in a search for a successful franchise, much like Disney has with Marvel and Warner's has with the DC Comics characters. Universal has gone back to the vault and they're pulling out all the classic horror movie monsters that we loved as kids. Frankenstein, Dracula, The Mummy, Wolfman. We'll all be given their own films and then also cross over into each other's films, perhaps even suggesting an Avengers-type film with all of the creatures in one movie. They are handing the reins over to two guys, Alex Kurtzman and Chris Morgan. Chris from the Furious 7 film and Alex Kurtzman in many motion pictures, but Transformers most recently. They're going to take those classic characters and reboot them and bring them back for a new generation in the hopes that everyone will look forward to the next monster movie. They're going to do one a year, they say, and then cross them over into each other's films.
I hope they do it as well as Disney.
Yeah, me
too. Yeah, right. The only thing that confused me about that is Frankenstein, is that one of the properties that they own?
Yes. Their version of Frankenstein, yeah. I don't think they own the book, the character. I think anyone can make a Frankenstein film based on the novel. I'm pretty sure it's public domain. That look, the flat-headed monster with the bolts in the neck and everything, that is pure Universal.
Because that movie that they're starting to promote that's coming out next year with Daniel Radcliffe, called Victor Frankenstein.
Right.
Looks great.
Yeah, based on the original source material, but this is their Frankenstein. Abbott and Costello. Remember Abbott and Costello met Frankenstein? Remember that?
Sure. It's one of my favorites.
Come on, Kevin. You never saw that film? It's a classic.
It is a classic.
Hey, Abbott! There's a big monster in that room!
There's a lot of that kind of dialogue.
Wow.
Yeah, it's really good.
How long has it been
since you get right home and watch that?
The calling to do an Abbott Costello voice, Ralph.
Very rarely I get it, so I take advantage when I can. Chris Morgan, one of the producers, says, I was raised on monster movies. I used to make my own fake puke. So I wouldn't have to go to school, and I could stay home and watch movies like Cat People on TV. I can still tell you what I used. Orange juice, saltines, Pepsi, and milk.
I think we need to know what he used.
You mix it all together and then call Mom in and say, Mom, I can't go to school. I'm sick. Then she would go to work. Monster movies. So that's a good recipe for puke if you need one.
How many people do you think need one here today, Ralph?
You never know.
Okay.
You never know when you need some fake puke.
All right.
Sad TV news. Fans of Kurt Sutter, of course, a friend of the show, creator of Sons of Anarchy. His series, Bastard Executioner, has been canceled over at FX. network took the unusual step of announcing the show's cancellation in a series of ads in the Hollywood trade papers. Usually they just kind of let it go under the radar, but they said goodbye to that series. And I think they regret the fact that more people didn't watch it, and they were fans of the show, and now they're going to have to let it go because you got to make money in this business. Got to turn out quality material like those 50 Shades movies in order to get people right. to tune in.
Kurt's going to be fine, though. He's such a talent.
Very much so. Today's celebrity birthdays. Damon Wayans Jr. is 33 years old today. Chloe Sevigny is 41 years old. Oh, now she's getting two bells. See? You're just flaunting it now. Now you're just in people's faces. Now you're just stirring the pot.
Like he does.
Mike Epps, very funny comedian, is 45 years old. Owen Wilson currently can be seen in the new trailer for Zoolander 2 that just hit the internet.
He's the Butterscotch Stallion.
That's right. He's 47. Kirk Hammett, Metallica guitarist, is 53. Elizabeth Perkins turns 55 today. Her co-star from Weeds, Kevin Nealon, is 62. And Delroy Lindo, very talented and commanding actor, 63 years old today. He was in one of my favorite films. I believe I got the right actor. He was in Out of Sight with
I like that movie.
Jennifer Lopez and George Clooney. I think Delroy.
You know what else he was in?
Tell me, Bean.
Pig's Feet Don't Lie.
I believe he was. He was the lead in Pig's Feet Don't Lie. And, of course, its wildly popular sequel,
The Pink Fruit Mountain.
The Pink Fruit Mountain. It's a double feature.
Yeah.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Don't forget, you can put in your application to be Miss Double December through this Friday at 10 a.m.
That means 48 hours from right now.
That's correct.
We're done with it. We got our contestants to choose our top 10 from.
Ladies, don't miss out on this opportunity because there's a lot of good that comes along with Miss Double December. Yes, there's Bean. We understand that. But there was also some great things. You get to attend all the events that we do here in the Kevin and Bean Show, and you get a year's worth of hijinks and hilarity and shenanigans.
Are we promising them that?
We're promising all three of those.
Okay. Yes.
April Foolishness, Weenie Roast, Singles Parties, Breakfast with, Acoustic Christmas. You win all of that as you become a family member with Kevin and Bean for a year. And it's easy to enter. It's free. You just sign up on the website, KRock.com, answer a couple of questions, upload a couple of photos, and then we'll give you a call. The deadline, again, is this Friday morning at 10 o'clock. And I think about a week or so, we start meeting the ladies on air, and then we have the pageant. We crown our Miss Double December 2016 on December 4th. Once again, we're going to be with our friends in Fullerton at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen if you want to make plans to come down and join us to see the pageant. It's going to be fun. But KRock.com for all the details.
One of our listeners suggested a new game called Ralph Makes Us Guess, where we look at the top 10 creepy, inappropriate things Bean will say to the contestants during the, competition.
I love it.
So maybe we'll play that tomorrow.
Yeah. Because that's not going to go well.
I don't know why you guys
create
this rich fantasy life in your heads that I am in any way creepy when it comes to this pageant. I treat women with the utmost respect.
You could barely get that out.
Tomorrow morning on All New Kevin and Bean Show, we have Dr. Drew. We have Jim Rome talking sports. We have Alex Borstein on the program. We have Bo Bachman talking about the LA Auto Show. We have Rainn Wilson on the show. And we're giving away another trip to Las Vegas tomorrow morning on an All New Kevin and Bean Show.